What's up? It's Tuesday night, episode 51 of Inside the Game. We come off of a long weekend of MLG Rally, and there's so much to discuss. You know, we've got a long time to discuss the hard facts. There's nothing soft about tonight's show at all. In control, there's absolutely nothing soft about tonight's show. Welcome.
We don't.
Welcome to Inside the Game, episode 51. What's up, bitches?
The endearing bitches from Wheat.
What's up, man? I feel like, well, I mean, two out of three of you I just saw a few days ago. Pain user, you were there in spirit.
I was watching the whole time.
Along with apparently everyone else, since it was so empty.
Oh, yeah?
Ghost of Raleigh Post.
Well, was there a hurricane this time around, or was it a...
No, there wasn't. That's why we had so many people last time. They were excited about the hurricane. They wanted to experience it.
That was the worst thing ever. And it wasn't even... There's nothing cool about it.
I met a lot of Canadians for some... I mean, I don't know if North Carolina is just a cool place for Canadians to travel to.
They're just dedicated, man. If you mingle around at those MLGs, there's Canadians everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know.
They show up. They're there to support their favorite little Protoss.
Did you watch this weekend, Pain User?
I did.
Sorry, I forgot to change your name again on the overlay.
What?
It still says...
Get rid of it!
How was your online experience? Because I know a lot of people were complaining about the streams dipping in and out for some reason.
Like in terms of like lag issues and stuff, or like shutting off and coming back on. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Other than that, though, it was pretty solid. Some of the downtime on the I found myself using the premium streams quite a bit due to the downtime on Red and Blue. But I liked how they mixed up all the casters super frequently, just threw different pairs in there, kind of had a round robin thing going. One thing Jeff's commented.
Well, I didn't like that.
Oh, yeah? Didn't like it?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I think there should just be two guys that cast all day for 20 fucking hours and never get to leave.
Well, they could keep everybody with their core pairs.
No, I'm just fucking around, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sure the variety was actually pretty good this weekend.
I don't know why they didn't get rid of the fucking siege tank commander view for the booths. That just looks so weird. Like,
they've had it for like a year and a half now. I mean,
it's okay.
It's become tradition.
it's so ugly. It just looks so bad.
The headless horseman of state. And then, like, the cameras are in different places between the two stages as well, so poor Chef had the camera, like, low and centered, which made him look larger and bigger. Mm. And then Leanox was high and centered, so it made him look even more like a child. Like, it was like...
And speaking of Chef, because he plays with the keyboard on his lap, so one arm's just, like, dipped under the table. He's, like, leaning to the side. It looks pretty funny. Every time you see him on the stream, it's great.
There, at one point, people were talking about there was a shot of Crank, and it made it look like he wasn't using his arms to play. Like, it was. They had it on Reddit. It was pretty funny. But you're right. It did kind of. I guess we're just jumping right into the topics. By the way,
which
is perfectly fine. I'm noting that a lot of people in chat did say that the stream was crashing. That they had some issues. Yeah. And, that's – I would just like to point out that a lot of the stream focus was on our competition. And, you know, it'd just be fluffy for me not to, like, say, way to go, guys. Should have done it on Twitch. But even Reddit, I might as well just come out and fucking say it. A lot of people on Reddit were saying the exact same thing. So, I don't know. I didn't hear that much. So – Pain user, your only input other than chat.
I mean, you know, Twitch has had their problems with tournaments too. I think it's just like an issue of having that many people connected at one time, but it wasn't like unbearable. Dude, it's the horse fly attacking you again.
Doesn't believe in like subtle appearances. It fucking drops out of the sky like a bald eagle. Sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
It wasn't unbearable. I mean, I didn't find it unbearable, but it was annoying. The downtime is obviously annoying, frustrating. But honestly, the commercial downtime and like game downtime on Red and Blue bothers me more, I would say. Just like the staring at a placard screen for, you know, 10, 15 minutes between games. I find myself getting caught up in, like, other stuff and then missing, like, the first 10 to 15 minutes of a game that I really want to see.
Now, if there was separated content, and this goes for anyone, right, any esports event. So let's say there is 10, 15 minutes in between these games. If there was content that played, and let's say there was only like an hour total of this content, and then you just started seeing the same content over and over, is that just as good as putting a plate up?
It depends on what the content
bad,
is.
Rather, you know?
Most people say they prefer rotating camera of the audience even. They hate... Yeah, I think it was IPL that just had the like spinning AMD thing. It just drove people nuts, and then they eventually ditched it and just showed the audience.
Yeah.
As mundane and as, you know, low production as that is, it's better, I guess.
It's cool. I mean, you get to see people throw up their signs and like people do funky crap when they're on camera. Everybody wants to have their 2 seconds of fame and do something stupid, so you get to see all kinds of random stuff. It's pretty cool. It's like a lot more entertaining than just staring at a sponsor screen. And then also, I feel like the computer as a vehicle, anybody who's like apt on the computer, you have so many different options. You can like quickly cycle through different stuff. You're watching shows. You have all kinds of stuff going on. So I feel like any kind of content that's going to be targeted at like PC users who are at home needs to kind of be like seamless content that's really engaging. Otherwise, it's really easy to lose people.
Kind of going off that, and for me, this is the biggest issue, and I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to focus too much on the negatives, because I think this MLG was a success overall, and
right,
it was great.
Right,
but as far as like streams dipping in and out, and then having very little to no content between action, the problem I have with that is that if we do want to continue to make MLG our premier event where we introduce it to people and we say, this is what StarCraft II is doing. Those hardcore people, they're going to sit through the boring shit. They're going to watch the rotating NOS or whatever.
Be F5 mesmerized.
Yeah, they're going to come back after the stream crashes. But the people, the vast majority of people we're trying to capture and to get like interested in this, they're going to F5, fuck that, they're gone. Like if the stream dies, they're like, well, that's stupid, and they move on. Or if it's just a 10 minutes of like coming up next and then just MLG in the middle of their screen, they're gone doing something else because they don't have the commitment, they don't have the knowledge that's keeping them interested. So our MLGs, our NESLs, our IPLs, whoever wants to be the big ship, they need to put in more effort with this kind of stuff, because we need to be able to say, go watch an MLG, it's 5 hours of fantastic fucking content, and if you don't like StarCraft after that, it's not for you. But right now, what I would say is, watch the VOD, skip all the boring shit, and check out the really cool production. And if you like that, then, you know, maybe you get interested.
Yeah. I think, like, all the tournaments should definitely get into, like, some sort of, like, on-the-fly, really quick, well-done interviews with the players. Either, like, post-match, pre-match, even pre-tournament, like, the preparation they've gone through, stuff that they've been working on. I think, like, following the player storylines and stuff is something that's super, super interesting for a lot of people. And tournaments haven't really found a way to, like... I mean, they do kind of, like, throw in random interviews in there, but it's not...
No, some people are mentioning... DreamHack does a good job. Asus ROG did a good job. Greg, your
MLG
point.
Used to have a lot more...
Yeah.
At least it felt like they used to do a lot more interviews and a lot more interaction with the players post-match. Mm-hmm. And I think the pre-match or pre-tournament interviews, going around to all the players and getting them, and then throwing them up before their game is about to go on stream. I think something like that would be an excellent idea.
You know, Greg, though, you say used to, and like honestly, I know exactly where like MLG had these really long form that they also cut some short form interviews. But like, frankly, like that was when like 64 guys were showing up, and 13 of them were like, oh my gosh. I think as it's scaled, it becomes so much harder to identify.
Sure.
Like, you know. Where those storylines are. There might be some obvious ones. Crank is one, for example. You know, like, you could have done a story on just how he got to the event, and then just to find out how great he did, that would have been an obvious, like, latch-on story throughout the competition.
Yeah. Like, my problem, though, is that, like, what we're asking for is not for them to materialize a new concept that they haven't already done, but rather, like, they have Clutch there, who's doing, you know, the Clutch Corner or whatever it was called, where you interview people. he was doing on-floor interviews and stuff. We're asking for that to be organized better and more consistent. Like, between downtime, you pull up the pre-planned interview where it's like, Clutch is coming in, sponsored by Total Biscuit. Let's talk to him about that. Or fucking talk to Total Biscuit, who's on our payroll as a caster for that event. Or let's talk to Scarlett, who's the best transgender in, like, almost all of StarCraft II and one of the best in the gaming world. I'm not going to do that elitist StarCraft thing where I assume that she's better than everybody, but you know what I mean? Like, there are storylines to be had. Yeah, if MLG, it takes the week or two beforehand to create 2 hours of pre-roll, that kind of stuff really makes a tournament.
I agree.
But even that before, they always used to have JP and Clutch and maybe a few others walking around the tournament area just picking out people who were becoming storylines. Like, if they made it through the bracket well, or if they just won a big match, or if they were just someone who was supposed to be hyped about, like Huck or something, then you would give a little interview of them. Yeah.
Prime example of, like, what Greg and Jeff were talking about is, like, so Trimaster, 2-0's MKP, great series. Trimaster played amazingly well. And they grab him and bring him on the stream super quick. I think Clutch just grabs him immediately after the match for a quick interview. And he's just like, "You, sir, are a god! Like, how do you feel?" And Trimaster was getting, like, really... he was getting, like, really analytical about it. He was, like, explaining, like, the build orders and, like, the practice routine that he went through and how he figured that MKP was going to open up with a Marine Hellion medevac build, so he countered it with Cloak Banshees. And he was getting, like, really deep and analytical. And if you throw, like, anyone who's there, really, Jeff, Axlav, Greg, any high-level player, just to sit there and, like, pick his brain for 2 minutes about what he did. It was, like, so interesting to me, and then they cut him off.
The key, ultimately, is to really utilize everything that you've got going on to create that content, because creating a lot of the packages ahead of time is what takes, I think, the most work. But, shit, you got players there. They've got an hour before their next match.
Right.
Like, I agree with you guys. Like, it would be great if every match started off with an interview. Hey, here's a 5-minute interview. Okay, to the desk where they're bringing you blah versus blah. It's like, boom, the game goes into the interview. Next one, you know, it is a tough thing to figure out. And it seems like, tough in terms of production, in terms of implementation, you know. But I don't know. I was trying to think of what other events and what other organizations, like, have done a really good job.
I don't know.
Aces Rog, man.
Yeah, that's the obvious one, Aces Rog. IPL has made some attempt at creating the packages, but I think then you fall into that problem of just getting the repeated stuff over and over again.
With IPLs, though, it's like we would spend, like, ridiculous amounts of money, have players come in and, like, you know, take, like, camera roll in front of the production team, and they'd be like, "Look angry. Look badass."
Like, and it came off really, like, corny and bad. That was not worth it at all.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
it would keep looping over and over, so then the corniness is, like, amplified.
It needs to be perfected. It needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
You don't abandon the concept, you know what I mean? Like, the alternative is, like I said, this. I don't know why tournaments think they can get away with a rotating emblem for, like, 10-plus minutes. And I know that the tournaments are aware that they can. That's why MLG was like, "Clutch, get the fuck out there. Go interview, you know, like, Rod Simpson." And then, or...
whoever, yeah.
Rob Simpson is what I'm trying to say, I guess. But, you know what I mean? Like, that stuff did happen, and maybe the interview is hit or miss, but it's still more engaging. It still passes time better than the rotating emblem.
Totally agree.
But, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the negatives were, like, kind of a small audience,
right.
stream dipping in and out. But the pros are, I think MLG's hitting their stride. I liked that they had a second stage.
Yeah, they also had seven WTF. Streams, which is, like, kind of funny, because I know people were like, "I didn't give a fuck about stuff when there wasn't content, because I just switched streams, you know?"
No, I did too, but, like, you know, there's, like, I don't know, not trying to, like, get too negative here, but when you hop in on, like, one of the side streams and there's a great game going on and you have two up-and-coming casters who are, like, working there for free, and they're talking, like, super fast and, like, stumbling all over each other. I understand they're, like, learning, you know, the whole process, but it's just not the same as, like, having two seasoned casters with, like, valuable input going at it on the main stage. Like, it's tough to listen to sometimes.
Well, for the time being, you just have to deal with that. You can't actually afford to have 10 quality casts.
I agree.
Like, it's just a trade-off for having for having that much content available, because otherwise you just don't get to see the games at all if you insist on
having it. Although, at the same time, on the contrary, you are paying for a premium stream, and like the content that you get on the premium stream is like...
I don't know. I think you're just paying to see the games. Like, if you want to have the games with good commentary, then you'd have to pay more.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it actually costs, so like whether or not
I think it was like $14 for the event.
For access to everything.
Yeah, for access to everything. Yeah.
Also, I want to say this too, by the way, and this is a little bit more subtle. Post MLG Anaheim, I in particular, but a few others voiced concern as well, bitched about how like when you were eliminated, you were immediately ejected from the players area, which was tough because while on the one hand it's awesome to interact with fans, you want to have moderation of that because the other purpose of you being there is to talk and interact with your teammates while they're still competing. This time around, MLG heard that criticism and they actually widened the space for players to play, and then they put benches behind the players and they tried to enforce staying away from the players but still having space to watch. For me, this was the best MLG experience where I could say, okay, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to interact with some fans for an hour or so, and then I'm going to come back in, I'm going to catch Suppy's match or Greg's match or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that is just fantastic. Like, Raleigh also, like, we talked about the small audience, but they're kind of seasoned with MLGs. They've been doing this for many years, I feel. I actually have the number in front of me, but I feel like they're really good. Their security people are awesome, like the refs of MLG, like, MLG is really a great tournament to compete in, outside of the fact that it is a marathon, which I think is its own challenge in and of itself. So that's not necessarily something they need to change, because that's different. I want us to also talk about the new format. I think that's interesting. But I just wanted to give big props, because I thought that I think it's really cool that MLG listens to criticism, implements it, and is willing to change what they do to accommodate people, because that made for one of the best experiences I've had.
Right on.
Let's talk about the event. I guess just to get it out of the way as well, the attendance was pretty poor. I mean, in relation to the other MLG events, there's no doubt that this felt like one of the smallest since their numbers have blown up. You know, obviously there's a couple in 2010 that were quite small, but that's, you know, that was a different story.
Yeah.
On Sunday, it felt like what you'd kind of expect even the Saturday or the Friday to feel like, but it was still at least loud and proud on Championship Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday seemed like it picked up a little bit more from a viewer's perspective. They were showing shots of the crowd. It looked a lot more full. I mean, obviously you didn't have people like sitting in the aisles and standing in the rows and everything, but it seemed a lot less sparse on Sunday from what I thought.
Given that it was the finals day, though, I think it was still relatively small. And the thing that really struck me is how many people were actually leaving, like, after games in the finals. When Leenock went up 2-0, me and LZ Gamer actually had to leave to go do something else. And there was a big chunk of the crowd leaving with us. Like, maybe they're off to get food or go to the bathroom or whatever, but they were leaving the venue in the middle of the finals. It didn't really seem like it was holding people's attention that well.
Actually, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I guess given those finals, it's not particularly surprising. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I felt like Leenock was just absolutely on fire. I even enjoyed the finals games. Like, I figured he was going to win going into it, and I was just like, Leenock was exhibiting something else at that tournament. Like, I've always thought he was a phenomenal player, but his games were just otherworldly. His troop movement and some of the stuff he was doing was just beautiful, man.
That was kind of rough. He was so much better than first that all the games were kind of boring.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't that much fun to watch for an entertainment.
He tried a Nidus Worm for his one loss, right?
Yeah.
And just
allowed
left.
Him to have a win.
Well, I can't believe he just left. He was just like, I know I'm going to beat you. Like, he just straight up left. He was on two base. Drone count was relatively equal. He hadn't sustained any heavy damage. He just attempted a Nidus Worm.
It was really lazy game, too.
Well, he knew that people had to get home before Monday's work schedule. You know,
right?
You know,
if you're in a tournament for money, like, you know, it's one thing if you're like in a show match for like a couple hundred bucks, but you're like at MLG finals and he just like pulled like an intro
for EG
Masters Cup. Just like,
I don't know. I didn't see the game, but if it was two base versus two base and he failed the Nidus tech, that's
no, like, but the whole game, even the Nidus itself was like, it was really lazy. Like, In terms of he basically was going to Nidus into the main on Metropolis. And
I think it was Tal Darum, wasn't it?
Was it?
If it's Tal Darum, it makes sense, because that's just a shit map, and he wanted to either cheese or get through it.
No, I might be confusing with the extended series with Clutch, where they were complaining that they had to play Tal Darum Alter.
No, I'm pretty sure it was... I'll just look in chat, because...
Metropolis, I was just being lazy, because Metropolis is, like, not a bad circuit map, but it's always going to be long and drawn out, so he's like, he didn't want to play that, he just wanted to finish the series.
Yep. His Overlord to sight for the Nidus... was practically inside his base.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was wearing a fucking sign that was like, hey, guys, I'm going to drop a Nidus Worm in your base. I mean, really, based off of what he saw, it was...
So then also, I think even after seeing... So, like, he put a pylon up in the corner of the main and spotted the Overlord. I think Leenok got the cancel off on the Nidus Worm in his main. So, like, he even got the investment... returned on the Nidus that he was building in his main. He never even let it finish or attempted to put the...
I don't know. I hate to interrupt you guys, but, like, whatever. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But two base versus two base and a failed Nidus deck, that's, like, that's a pretty lost situation.
Yeah. I just, like, Leenok is one of the best Zergs, but he's one of the most understated Zergs. Like, you don't see Leenok wallpapers on desktops where people... You know, he's not one of the fan favorites. And then First is kind of a relatively unknown but still understated Protoss. You know, yes. he had an awesome run. He did great, but everyone was talking about Crank. Everyone was talking about Hero with his extended series. And then when none of those guys were in there.
Can Leenok played great, right? He played great the whole tournament.
It was ridiculous.
First had some great matches. But versus Zerg, I mean, Idra, can you talk to us a little bit about your matches with First? Like, what did you beat him 2-0, right?
2-1, but okay. The loss was me making Hydras on Antigua, so I'm not sure if that really counts as a win.
Oh, that game was rough. You only make Hydras so much, and you bitch about Hydras. It doesn't make sense.
I know. It's like something in my brain. It's like, maybe it'll work this time.
Maybe they'll be faster this time.
It's like you're admitting, you're like, oh, no, I'm not going to win this game. Better make Hydras.
Yeah, something's broken. I don't know. I should stop that. I actually got better when I started making them less. Like, Axelav and Strifeco told me they once had a conversation with, like, Idris was going to be really fucking good CVP when he learns to stop making Hydras. Then I stopped, and I started to get a lot better. But, yeah, I don't like Antigua, and I tried to do a time and go kill him.
Yeah, that being said, in your defense, I've seen Rhett do, like, a 2-3 base Hydra timing on Antigua that works.
Oh, yeah, people do them, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
sure.
It's depending on the Protoss messing up.
Yeah, and he scouted it super early with the OBS too, and started chronoing out Colossus with range and shit, and then like a million sentries.
Oh yeah, for the other games on Daybreak, he was like dancing around in the center a lot, trying to play really aggressive, and I happened to be going very heavy units. Like if I was going fast five or something, I may have been a little bit more vulnerable, or at least I would have been forced to just defend. But as is, I was able to, I also got off a good fungal on his pack of sentries, so I got a pretty big chunk of his army, and then I had five or six hatch production behind it to go ahead and go in for a counterattack, and then that put me far enough ahead that I was able to just keep trading out, killing his armies, and go for hive. And then on Metropolis, it was pretty much just him messing up. Like, I did a little 36, double 36 gas, speedling roach timing, just pressure, 3 bases behind it, and he missed his force field, like, completely and lost half his probes. And he did really good harass with Phoenix and Void Ray to kind of even it up, but it was just I was too far ahead after the opening.
What did you think about some of the Muta games that Leenok played versus First?
Honestly, I didn't get to watch many games all weekend because I was playing 2 events, and then on Sunday we had to go off and do a bunch of press and media stuff. Gotcha. I saw Leenok versus First on Antigua, and his Muta switch was really weird there. Like, it worked because his Ling Baneling harass aggression was so good early on that he had, like, an unlosable advantage.
Yep.
But I don't know why he went Muta there. Like, what
he did it on. He did it on Daybreak, too. Like, same exact thing you sort of said. Like, did damage early with Ling Roach. I think got a cancel on the third, and then just hard switched to Mutas on 4 base, 8 gas. Like,
that one's a little bit more normal, like the Roachling into Muta, but Ling Infest into Muta, especially when I think he was only on 3 base at that point. He was like just getting the fourth. That is pretty weird. I don't know, but I've seen ST do stuff like personally. I feel like if you're going Muta, it should be a 3 base Roachling into it, either with aggression or straight into Mutas, depending. Lancaster to mute is weird, but I'll have to watch his games more. Because like I said, I didn't get to watch much of anything.
Okay. Gotcha.
Looks like the cat's out of the bag.
What?
he visited us before. He's just staying in the house between tournaments.
But of course, okay. Considering what has come between those visits, it's pretty funny. I understand why everyone's laughing right now. But
Jeff says to re-add him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm back. Oh, there he goes. Oh my gosh, everything.
Are you still getting attacked?
We don't know what's going on. It's connection problems.
His computer. It's no good.
So it looks like the chat is just egging on for some Destiny drama here.
We're not talking about MLG yet, are we?
No, I'm just saying.
Quit
being a dick, man.
Yeah. Don't be such a cock, man.
Yeah. Give us time to get this subject up, and then we'll move on to that.
I know you want to raise your point right away.
I don't even think we have to address it. I missed the whole thing.
Are you pretty deflated about the whole thing?
I'm pretty enthusiastic about it.
Oh, shit. All right.
What? Wait, enthusiastic?
I don't know. He broke it, man. He broke Jeff.
Just as a reminder, Canada is still part of North America. Just
thanks.
Any other games like that you want to talk about, Pain User, as far as MLG is concerned? I mean, I'm really hoping that Dallas is much better, much bigger. The competition, I know, will certainly inflate for Dallas. I saw some great games, but anything that really stuck out for you? Yeah? Anything that really stuck out for you?
Not really.
No? Okay. All right, then. WCS. Idra takes third. Hugo. Huck manages to go in, eliminating Suppy. I wanted to bookmark it, but I never got a chance to. But there was the most hilarious troll on Reddit that was like, I'm pretty sure that Sir Scoots told Suppy to throw all the games versus EG and whatnot. And it's just, I mean, it was just absolutely hilarious. But you guys did have some team kills. Still get two people to the WCS. And then, of course, Scarlet and Vibe. What'd you think about the competition? Idra, I ask you that, and then ask you: did you have any problems playing in both tournaments?
I was absolutely fucking exhausted by the time I had to play ASD on Saturday night. I played the first broadcast match of the day against Vibe at 11 a.m., and then I played the last of the day against ASD at 11 p.m. that night. And I was just completely out of it for the match versus ASD. I felt like I played a million times worse for Sim than I had for the rest of the tournament, which is unfortunate because I felt like I played some really good games for the rest of it. Overall, it was okay. I had some some very disappointing matches against State and Vibe where I won the first game pretty easily and then lost to Cheeses or 2-2 base all in, a 2-base with essentially a fake third Nexus and then a 2-base from State and then 2-10 pulls from Vibe. But yeah, I took some risks I shouldn't have, especially when felt like I should have won. But then I followed it up with some really good matches. I was happy I beat Major. I thought I played really well against Illusion. Came back versus Insur. And then my MLG, I was actually much more happy about my MLG matches. I thought I really liked the way I played against Ice Cream. I got to do Mass Muta styles, which I'm not really sure if they're good or not. I was put into situations where I felt they would work, and they worked really well. So I don't know. Maybe there's still room in the meta game for them. Maybe it's come back around now that people are getting more worried about Infestors. And then I beat first. And CVP is still not really a strong point for me, and I felt like I played really well and solidly there. And first ended up getting second in the tournament. I was the only person he lost to before Leenok, so that's pretty cool. Overall,
two Zergs he played.
He also beat Lysira, and I don't know who else.
Did he beat Lysira?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Sir Skeet probably told Lysira to throw that one, though, as well.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's true. This make me feel better. But overall, the results were kind of disappointing, but I felt like I was playing a lot better than I have in previous tournaments, so
good.
On the way back.
Yeah, I felt so as well. From a spectator standpoint, I thought you were on fire, man. Your macro during the WCS games was nutty, and then your games against First were real good, too, so good work, man.
Yeah, I was really, really disappointed. I had to play ASD at 11 o'clock after waiting for 4 hours. Because if you're playing constantly, you can kind of get on a roll, and the adrenaline keeps you going. But if you have a bunch of downtime and then have to play really late, I played really badly. And I felt like I could have done a lot better versus him if we played in better conditions. Although he was tired, too. It was the end of the day for him.
For sure.
That's kind of the – it's – I don't know. It's almost hard to even put the blame on MLG entirely because
It's entirely possible.
Because the point I'm trying to make is WCS that a lot of tournaments run really late matches these days. It's not just MLG.
Yeah, if you're going to do WCS MLG like at the exact same time, maybe like fly the WCS guys in like a few days ahead of time, have them play the WCS over the course of maybe 2 or 3 days, give them a couple days of downtime, and then throw them into the meat grinder for MLG. But doing WCS and then going into the open bracket for MLG is just like, it's like climbing the hill and then just like seeing the little precipice over the rocks and then just seeing another giant mountain. I mean, it's just like endless games for hours on end. It's crazy.
Yeah, Saturday morning I played solid from like 11 until 5 or 6, just straight matches. Kind of sucked. Actually, that part wasn't so bad. It was having to wait and then play ASD late.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to stay warm and just like keep going, you know? Just sitting around for hours is just miserable.
Yep.
Get all lethargic and like watch games and sit around and then it's like, oh, hop into your match. You've got 10 minutes before you're disqualified. Yep. It's like, all right.
That's the worst part.
Well, it's just like learning for next year. But as it is, WCS China, I don't think you have to worry about two tournaments being ran at the same time. So that'll be good. You just have to worry about playing one day ahead of what your body's acclimated
right.
to.
I usually travel pretty well to China because it's like so far off that my body is just like fuck it for a day and
what happened
sleep
to that
24
day?
Hours.
Oh well.
Yeah. Yep.
Could have sworn there was a day in there somewhere.
Nah, it's going to Europe. That's the hard part. Like from Europe's a bad one.
Europe is the worst of them. If no one has any other comments about MLG, WCS, congratulations.
Really impressive standout performance from Sasquatch. He killed it. It's kind of cool just to show that the Idris like no. It's really kind of cool to see that the academy actually like worked out for him. It's like
definitely looks like a complexity player. They're having their effect on him.
I thought he played really well. He does
anti timings. He actually attacks like when his upgrade is 75% done, and he goes Infester and gets half a chink land, but doesn't make a single Infester and then attacks. Like
I know he would have won the fight even more.
Shut the fuck up. He has no idea how to play.
He's young. Give him. He will learn patience. Give him time. He looked good though, man. Like I don't know. All things considered, he did real well. TriMaster, Caliber did real well from Team Light, I thought.
Oh, we actually haven't talked about Scarlet. She, like, just fucking destroyed everything.
Scarlet as well, yeah.
In light of how terrible the Zergs have been doing lately, I did wear my Zerg shirt and support, you know, like, maybe one of these days I'll win a tournament and, yeah. What, Jeff? What?
You're a troll.
No.
Scarlet. What I find really impressive about her is that she continues to, like, I said this in one of the interviews at MLG, but nobody really knows anything about her. Like, everyone's, one of their favorite guessing games is which Smurf is Scarlet on NA, and you,
she
like...
She hides really, really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, she's done such a good job of hiding that, like, people are like, I heard she trains on Korea almost exclusively, and people are like, no, man, she's on Europe. She's, like, five of the barcodes there. But she's, like, when people Smurf usually find out who that Smurf is, but with Scarlet... Nobody actually has any fucking idea, but apparently she's training because she's not like no one's chalking these up as like easy runs or anything like that. They're just like she's just better than everyone she plays. She just torched it. She won easily.
Yeah,
and I'm excited for her to go to China because I think sitting down with those Europeans and Koreans, I think she can dice it up with them too. I don't see a whole lot of holes in her gameplay, if any at all. I think she's one of the best.
Yeah, in the few online performances she has had against international players, she's done well against like Korean pros. I think it was IPL Tech or something where she did really well versus TLSL. She beat Inori and that other Protoss and one of their Zergs. Not Symbol, but all their Zergs are pretty good. And then just barely lost a Pult, like she messed up and threw it away. So like in the few times we have seen her against high caliber players, she's done just as well as you would expect given her performance versus CNA players.
Yeah, she was a lot more confident this time around, too, like in interviews and stuff. First time around, she was super shy, hardly said anything. This time in all the interviews, she was like, yeah, I knew I was going to win it. I won it.
She's always been pretty confident in game too. Like you see her start doing ceremonies and stuff before most people would even think it's over. And
but she GG's, she'll get up and shake your hand, like she'll dance her ultras against you, but then she'll politely thank you for losing. Like I like it.
Very true.
All right, let's move on to the next subject. Jeff actually wanted to bring this up. Good for you, Jeff. I think it's an interesting thing to bring up, and I was trying to find a picture of it. I'm going to see if I can't find actual video of it.
Is this Destiny's dick, or is this the
other one? Yeah, I was about to say.
God. Oh, God. No.
A picture of the thing.
No, no. Sorry. Sorry. That kind of came out wrong. No. This is about the Dota 2 in-game advertising.
For this subject, we can't talk about this without actually properly giving credit where credit's due. Total Biscuit brought this up a long time ago.
Yeah.
When Dota first had mentioned this, and you know, tip of the top hat to him, or bowler cap,
or the dick tip.
This is something, yeah, the dick as well. Tip of the cock. This is something he had mentioned a long time ago. And, you know, I didn't give it too much time and thought, but then after I've been watching EG in the International right now, which is kind of fun. Dota 2 seems really cool. It is fucking amazing. It is awesome. For the people that haven't seen it, like when you go to, you know, it's a MOBA game, so on either side you have like your base camp. There's banners for your team. You can actually put your sponsors on there.
Yeah, I'm trying
inside the base itself on the ground you have your team's emblem. Little things like that, it might not seem like much, but I'll just tell you, it's absolutely phenomenal for your sponsors and your team to know that you're getting like 110,000 eyes concurrently on those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Evil Geniuses or EG and then like the name tag of the player. It's actually like, here's actually their sponsors. It's absolutely amazing. And the best part about it for me is it's not obtrusive. It doesn't actually take away from the viewing experience.
No, if anything, it actually enhances and makes it a little bit easier for a spectator. Even though the game itself is hard to follow, you can go, oh, this is Evil Genius's base. So someone who may recognize the logo from StarCraft can immediately take an interest to this team, or Mouse Sports, or Na'Vi, or Moscow 5. Like then suddenly they take an interest in that.
It's just like a cool interactive way to bring sponsors a little bit more exposure. Sponsors will look at that. I think Jeff made the point succinctly with the just that many eyes being on your logo is a big deal for sponsors. Absolutely.
And I know a lot of like one of the concerns for a lot of people too, where they're like, well, when I buy that game, I don't want that advertisement on mine. It's not a concern. It's only for tournament play. I think that's a really important distinction to be made. And then, you know, I even see in the stream chat a lot of people are like, "Wow, it's corporate sponsorships, you know, invading more into the gameplay." But guys, that's like the reality of things. If we can,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, if you can give love to sponsors in a non-obtrusive way, in a really smooth and kind of cool way, that's the best of everything. Because the alternative is that the casters have to just like blatantly over and over again mention the sponsors and the names, and that gets pretty annoying, because that's you don't want to do that. But if it's in the game, they can let the game run the ad role for them as it is.
So you know, since we're kind of talking about some of the functionality, I might be crazy to try this, but let me just show you. So here is, you can go to the page. So I was looking for an example, right? The best way might just be to show it. EG plays Counter Logic Gaming. And you could go and you can launch the replay in game with the match commentary, and then also in this case they show the, you know, where the videos actually took place. That's, you know, that's something that for a long time we've talked about. We've talked about, you know, being able to spectate in client. And obviously we can in some regards, but there's not a public thing where you could say, you know, I'm going to allow people to publicly watch my games as I ladder, or as I'm playing these custom games. Obviously ladder wouldn't really work because of cheating. You get the idea. But what do you guys think about this? Like the whole concept of watching these games from within the client versus
the stream. On the one hand, it's like, how fucking brilliant is it if you're Valve? Like, you're actually driving people to your game now. You know, you're not relying on third-party programs to view your game. You are in control of your product, and now you're controlling the viewing experience as well. So if you razzle-dazzle people with it, and people are like, well, I'm here, why not just go ahead and pick up a couple other games, something like that, that's what happens.
I think it works. I don't know if how many of like the companies have actually found a way to monetize it and like support the teams that or the players that happen to be streaming through the client. And I think that's one thing that is really cool about Twitch. It kind of like empowers players and teams to have their own personal stream and their own way to monetize that and make money off it, which is really cool. So I think it detracts from players in that sense, but I think as far as from a business standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world for the company itself. Because
maybe like a player like Day9 when he streams tournaments on his personal channel, but as far as like as far as I understand, it's for like tournaments. It's not, if I stream Dota 2, I don't open up the launcher and drive people to it.
For LOL, they have like personal streams too through the client and other stuff too, where you can let people watch you play. But yeah, for tournaments, I think that's definitely feasible. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, what about, for the big tournaments, you know, it gives someone the ability to have freedom. You know, frankly, a lot of people have been saying, oh, you should just fire up the client and watch it that way. And, you know, for convenience, that actually sucks. You know, I mean, like, I can't load up the client and then do work at the same time.
Right.
But I can, like, you know, I have another computer, but it's like this morning I didn't want to install Dota 2 and change this and do that. I mean, I felt so constricted. But at the same time, if I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this best of three series, I'm planning to do it, you know, it's a major, then maybe, you know, I would jump in on something like that. But I know there's the hardcore crowd, like you mentioned earlier, Jeff, who would be like, fuck that, man. I only want to watch in client. Like, that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm an idiot with tech, so I don't know, but I don't have the client. I was able to watch this morning, so obviously
I was seeing in chat they were saying you don't even need to purchase Dota 2 to be able to use it.
I watched the stream.
That's kind of cool.
So if you can watch in the client and like throw up a replay or play a game in between or something like that, great. And if it drives traffic to their actual launcher, wonderful. But I don't think it's an exclusive thing. I definitely just watched the stream this morning while EG smashed the shit out of a couple of teams in Dota 2.
Jumping back to MLG to reopen it, what did you guys think about the LOL scandal?
Well, no, God damn it, fucking pain user, Jesus Christ.
I said it. Cat's out of the bag.
No, it's not that. We were going to talk about it, but it was just like in the middle of the conversation, and suddenly you're like, yo, I want to chuck a spear this way.
Taylor decided that conversation's done.
Yeah.
I had some things to add to that, like, I don't understand if there's a – let's say that there's a fucking esports arms race, right? And in this arms race, League of Legends, they get their replay in and they've got a spectator. And Dota's like, well, fucking A, man. Here's team banners and you can slap a monster logo on there. And then Blizzard's like, well, here's WCS. And I'm like, dude, Blizzard and Battle.net, like, you have these unbelievable players. You have these unbelievable tournaments that are taking place. Like, how fucking badass would it be if within Battle.net itself, it had a database for all this shit? So if Greg or In Control are playing in a tournament and using their account, when we're watching, there is an EG logo somewhere in the base, or there is a picture of you that comes up. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, we're in the 21st fucking century. That shit should be to really, really win that arms race in esports. That's going to be it next, right?
Brother.
It doesn't really even seem like Blizzard wants to be in the arms race. Like, there's so many things that Riot does better than them, and they just don't seem concerned at all. They haven't really addressed it. The things that they do address and change, they're not geared towards esports at all. There's more superficial stuff. If anything, it's geared at casual fans who just want a better playing experience or a more fun playing experience. Like, they're not trying to make it better for esports or better for
teams. I agree, but I think at the same time, they're putting their pinky toe at the very least in the water with WCS and some of the other stuff that they're doing. I think just kind of like barely.
That's a very different kind of thing, though, like hosting a tournament as opposed to actually modifying their game and putting all this thought and effort into it. Like, WCS really just seems like they're throwing money at tournaments and telling them to host an additional thing for them, or like maybe hosting their own one for some.
Well, everyone's doing that, but the only difference is that Blizzard seems to be the only one who's not taking that little extra step in terms of the Battle.net support or the, you know, adding things like a team logo and stuff.
Let me a little bit defense for WCS/Blizzard, like. I actually had a good chance, and I hope by name dropping, I'm not actually getting myself like a bullet comes through the window and just hits me in the head all of a sudden, or that fucking horsefly or something. I don't know, but
a trident.
Mark Obleff is the European esports like manager from Blizzard, and I got a chance to actually interact and talk with him a lot when I was hosting Sweden's WCS, and he talked a lot about kind of the model for WCS. This is their first effort, but it's designed from the ground up to literally inject money into all aspects of esports right now. They're literally every WCS tournament on the national level, every player gets some chunk of change. They're being paid to, or their travel's being taken care of as a burden off of the actual teams themselves. What they're trying to do is they're trying to like literally microtransaction. It's almost like it's a developing third world, and Blizzard's trying to grow the economy around it. They want to make it so teams get their exposure, the players get to these events, and there's a literal catalyst slash a reason to train domestically to get on to that higher level. If you take WCS out of this, the NA scene in particular doesn't have a lot of inspiration to try and aspire to that pro level because MLGs are so international. We don't have an ESL. We don't have a local DreamHack where there's a really big stage and a huge open bracket that we can all travel to because we're just this one country with 9 million people relatively close together, and it's like a 3-hour drive away. It's all over the country. It's really tough to get around. So WCS is kind like that's their model, but what I'm saying does not preclude, by the way, myself from agreeing with what you guys are saying, because I would say WCS is the fucking bee's knees from a developer trying to develop the tournament scene. But I would still, it's not exclusive, and it doesn't stop them from doing little things like what you guys are saying, like the in-game banner. Like, Blizzard does not need to be above copying from other organizations. And my hope is, like, when we hear rhetoric like their pinky is in or, like, they're starting to dabble, I know for a fact that they're trying to actually build up the esports. This is their vision.
Yeah, no doubt.
I just hope that they don't think that they're above stealing or being inspired from other leagues because there's some really cool stuff out there.
Yeah, I don't mean to take away from WCS. It's like they put a ridiculous amount of money in. I think I saw it's like over $500,000 in prize money paid plus all the flights and travel they've done, which is really, really good. And I love the fact that they have it set up like an Olympics, partly for what you said and partly just because it's so cool to have that kind of thing, have the international aspect of the competition, representing your country and your region. That's really, really cool. But a lot of developers are throwing tournaments, and this may be the best, but Blizzard just lags behind so badly. And some other things that are really, really easy to implement, and I hope it's not what you said, like that they just don't want to copy what other companies are doing, because that would just be ridiculously petty. But I can't imagine why else they're not doing it for some of the things. Some are obviously more invasive and more hard work, but like, still seem to be worth doing.
How cool do you think it would be, and how difficult do you think it would be to implement? I mean, to have like full-on clan system support, I think would be just an outstanding idea for Battle.net. You've got your EG channel. You've got your EG private channel with all the members. It's like password protected. You can have your managers in there. And then you could have like a queuing system where you take a pre-selected roster of like 6 EG players and you could put one person in the manager position. They could select the players that they want to put in. You could have two teams square off in like a team league format style. And that could be like another type of ladder. You could have a whole clan system and a clan ladder with like a separate elo system where clans actually compete on Battle.net. I think that would be awesome, and in the different areas. And then once they put in support for like multinational competition, as opposed to having all the servers segregated, then you can have like a full on global.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's basically two distinct things: something that supplements like the competition side of it, the game, and then something that complements the tournament and sort of the fact that we have access to these players, we have access to the assets, the ability to change these assets. So, you know, why doesn't Blizzard take that extra step? I mean, the game is just as fucking important. And you guys are right. Yeah. Like, it could take nothing away from WCS, but that's right. We could sit here and we could just praise it, you know, for 30 minutes. But, like, honestly, I still am always left asking myself, but what about the game?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there are more opportunities that are being passed up. And Valve, they're a great example of a company that's like, well, fuck, we could do this. Well, shit, this makes sense.
I agree. And like I said, I hope what I was saying doesn't take away from that, because there should always be voices out there saying, WCS is great, but here's some other things that hopefully you guys are aware of. But I do want to drop a little bit of the conspiracy, okay? I'm going to blow some minds here in a second. Wait, you ready for this?
Sup?
You don't get this shit on Live on 3. You guys are too old for this. It takes the young brains for this kind of thing.
All right, son.
Get ready. What you got? Okay? They actually fly. Here we go. And I don't know this for a fact, but this is where my brain goes when I sit around with my tinfoil hat. They actually fly Tastosis, the most high-profile casting duo, to UK, to Australia, very specifically to draw attention to very good communities that otherwise would not get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And then with strong places where they are self-fulfilling and just fine with pretty good casters that aren't Tastosis, Sweden, Germany, okay. The next thing that they do as well, and this is actually something they did tell me, is they try to have, in foreign languages, they try to actually pay and have on-site domestic commentators to build that scene as well. They never just have English commentators in France and Germany. They also have French and German commentators because they want to try to develop that as well. But they're like so calculated that they're literally paying $30,000 to haul Tastosis around to these foreign events, sit them down, have them commentate the UK or Australian WCS, which otherwise wouldn't get as much attention. And I think that's how designed they are on trying to grow everything. And again, that doesn't exclude them from doing the other stuff as well.
I mean, money is a pretty good way to solve the solution, but it's not like I think that companies are figuring out that it can't just be that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The thing that really confuses me, if they're actually putting that much thought into it and working that hard to improve everything through WCS, and it seems like they might be if you really think about everything, just look at how much money they put into it, then why aren't they doing these other little simple things that seem like they would help so much and that have been so appreciated from other companies?
I get the feeling that Blizzard is becoming like so many different moving parts that it's kind of hard to coordinate on some of that. Like, that's a fantastic idea, but like I hear whisperings that they have like a BNet dev team which is separate from SC2.
Yeah,
they prioritize Diablo 3 and now they're working on like their secret project, and then StarCraft 2 is like down here. So that's why really common sense things haven't been implemented yet. So again, don't take this as me defending Blizzard. This is me saying, here's the problem, and I think this is where it's getting locked up at. But if I'm that's a weird way to say that. If I am, gosh darn, Mike Morheim, and I'm hearing people are like, wow, they have in-game banners advertising this. It's like, by the way, can we put this out there? Like, it's not like Valve's like, here you go, like they're emptying baskets of like dollar bills and gold. Like, we don't care. This is us being selfless. We just want to fucking love everyone. No, they get so much PR and benefit out of being like, we're the guys that care. But also, when you invest in esports, you're investing in immortalizing your own product. You're basically building a scenario where other people pay for advertisement for your shit. Like, it makes so much sense to embolden the esports scene, because you're basically like, here, let me encourage you to spend millions of dollars advertising my product. And that's what happens. So when you don't actually develop esports, you're basically saying, this was a great game, thank you, but I can't wait for our new first-person shooter MMORPG that's going to replace WoW. You guys are going to love it. Like, do both.
But anyone have been paying attention to StarCraft? Would anyone have been paying attention to StarCraft like 10 years down the road without it? And Blizzard didn't monetize that, but that's because they didn't see it coming and they didn't set up to begin with. But now they obviously do, and they are set up to take advantage of it. They do have legal rights over all these tournaments. So, yeah, what Jeff said.
That's another really good point that Greg just made. Like, they own the IP rights for everything. If they wanted to just start pulling plugs,
yeah, so
they really should.
what Jeff said is 1,000,000% true. They benefit a lot from growing esports as well.
Yeah, and another interesting thing is, like, you know, I wonder if it would be in their best interest maybe to create subdivisions for each, like BattleNet group, and subdivisions for each game, as opposed to kind of moving down this one, you know.
Well, like subdividing and creating divisions and making teams and whatnot for a company like Blizzard, it's a lot more complicated than just saying, okay, you guys are working on this now, and then, you know.
All right, guys. This is what we're going to do.
Oh, God.
I'm going to come up with some sort of disease that's life-threatening. And through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I'm going to become the CEO of Blizzard for one day. And when this happens, I will fix all of the fucking shit that needs to be fixed. And then we'll fake my death. And then I'll just come back on the show the next week.
The ghost of DJ Weep.
But all the shit will be fixed. That's crazy. That's my plan. I'm going to do it.
That's a good one, man.
I don't know what else to do, fucking Jeff. So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if I just need to start, like, pulling a fucking Shawshank Redemption and send them one letter every day for, like, 29 years. And then finally they're like, we've considered your 57,339 responses, Weep. And we are going to let you know that we are putting this into the game.
But that, we're doing our part. They listen to this, and more importantly, you know, this, a lot of people that listen to the show are they're out there, you know. Just keep this stuff abuzz. Keep talking about it. Because at the end of the day, we don't have the big picture, too. Like Greg was kind of alluding to, like it makes sense to say, well, why don't they just form different divisions for their different games? Of course, to us, that makes a ton of sense, but to them, who knows what's going on there? I just hope Blizzard continues to listen, because, guys, that's what WCS was, by the way. For a year, they heard us sit around and go, like, Riot's doing $1 million tournament. Valve is not even – it's their game's in the beta, and they're doing $1 million tournament. What the fuck? And Blizzard was like, well, if you buy the special edition, you get a Thor with wings. Pretty
cool.
Got a
badge. It looks different.
And they were like, oh, shit, we look pretty bad. So then they came out with WCS, and guess what? It's fucking awesome. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we can't continue to say, hey, thank you so much for that, but let's keep pushing you in the right direction.
Even though I know we sound like a bunch of ungrateful fucking bitches, but again, like, all these other companies are doing it.
Yeah.
And if you are still leading the pack, Blizzard, then, you know, it's harder to give criticism. But guess what? You know, you're getting old. I don't know if you stepped in a puddle. You're concerned about your tennis shoes getting wet. Fucking, you're losing the race big time. Like, fucking big time. Riot and Valve, they've got fucking jetpacks on their shoes, man. They're jumping up in the air, and they're flying.
Riot shoes are Velcro, and they have, like, the light-up bottoms, but
yes,
they are still
yes.
Jetpack
We're
shoes.
Wearing the shoes of, like, a poor kid who's on the track team, man. Runs 50 miles every day. Holes, it's like, we just want a new pair of shoes, man. Just want a new fucking pair of shoes. With jets. And capes.
All right,
let's take a break. Then when we come back, let's see what's on the overlay. OSL All Kill, PAX, League of Legends match fixing, and dicks. That's what I've got.
Sounds like Wheat's patience is shortening.
Wheat, you've laid it on thick. Let's take a quick break right back and shoot up this whole conversation before I blow my brain, man.
All right. We'll be back with more Inside the Game, guys. Don't go away. We promise we'll be right back.
After all, isn't that what summer's all about? Right now, buy or lease your Volvo XC60 and we'll pay the first four payments.
We are back. It's time for the second half of Inside the Game. Welcome. We chatted about MLG, chatted about in-game advertising. Now we're going to shift gears and just touch. Day one started today. It was the OSL auction all-kill event. I don't know if you guys watched the games, but I did wake up this morning and check them all out. And generally, I was pretty impressed with some of the mechanics I saw.
Great, man.
Some of the other things were kind of shitty, but Fantasy had some pretty sick-ass drop play.
Oh my god, he dismantled ST. That was sick.
Well, Fantasy played really, really well, but it was like ST allowed him to. ST just kind of went ling-bang-ling with no anti-air at all, and Fantasy realized it and sent a medevac to every base and just picked them up when the Zerglings came. And like he did it well, and he macroed well behind it and whatnot, but it was much more an SC playing pretty poorly.
All right,
this is really disappointing.
From a Terran
Fantasy took advantage of all this. Yeah.
And watching one of my all time favorite Brood War legends demolish Nesty on Entombed was pretty sick. Like he kind of made that happen. I don't know, and the opening build too was so confusing. He did like a 12-14 mid map. Kind of Rax proxy and threw him off a little bit, and then just expanded right behind it.
Well, didn't he open with one of the forward barracks like kind of late, and then he scouted? Then he scouted pool first and put down the second barracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Demosum told me happened, which I found really weird.
Yep, and he just put down a super late second barracks, and then did like the four Rax wall into quick third. But the drop play from Fantasy was like really, really impressive. Just. He was taxing Nesty to the brim. Just I think he was at one point he was dropping like three different locations at once, and then sort of had a little squad pushing the creep at the front as well. So just kind of keeping Nesty just all over the place. But Nesty, in response to that, you've got to get something to deal with the medevacs. I think at some point, because if you're just sticking with like pure Ling,
or at least put down static defense. Like if he had spine prod every base, or just left a group of two banelings and eight lings, then. Wouldn't have worked nearly as well. But yeah, Fantasy got him off balance early on and just kind of went with it, and Nesty never really stabilized.
When are we going to talk about the dicks? No, I'm sorry.
But seriously, though, Fantasy, like, one of my all-time favorite Terran players, just so sick to watch him play games of that caliber against Nesty. I mean, these guys are going to be real good. The players were showcasing some serious improvement.
I mean, it's pretty much I stand kind of where Greg was the other week, where he's just kind of like, you know, they impressed me to see how quickly things are going, but there's like some pretty obvious. I mean, DRG versus Jangbi was.
Well, G and F are right next to each other. That's understandable.
He did like a that was a really interesting build. It's like. Two Stalker, two Zealot push into nine Phoenix into like six gate pressure at the third.
Well, all the including the lose half your probes because you guard the field. That was the interesting part of that build to me.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie.
The opening itself was definitely odd too. It was like, yeah, like you said, three Zealots, two Stalkers, and a bunch of Phoenix. Usually you just don't do that because if your opponent makes units, you die. And he did have a force field at home. He would have survived. But. Definitely weird.
That being never mind. I was going to say, in his defense, he did just recently win that big
Brood War tournament, so he must have been practicing.
You mean the OSL?
There we go.
The Brood War tournament?
You know, yeah. That one.
No. Sorry. That one. I couldn't remember what it was for a second. I'm retarded. But he did spend that, but he did beat Fantasy.
What
just happened? Right? So
yeah, he did. He won the last one.
All right, so yeah, I was going to say in his defense, he was probably practicing Brood War full-time for that, but he beat Fantasy, so it's like, and Fantasy showcased excellent games, so it doesn't really make sense.
Did you guys catch how they were kind of presenting it, where in between the matches they would, like, feature different units and stuff?
I fast-forwarded through that in VODs, but I saw that they were doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of interesting that they're really taking that approach. Like, the game just came out. Like, let's watch it. I know there's some diehard Brood War fans that literally, like, I want fuck all to do with that game and are kind of coming into it, but...
Well, it's no mystery. They're trying to light a fire in Korea. I mean, if this is news to someone, wake up. I mean, StarCraft II is not that popular in Korea. And Brood War is definitely on the downward swing. It's definitely going out the door. So a lot of those companies that have built, you know, 10-plus years now of their business on StarCraft, they need to find a way to get people really interested in StarCraft over there because they're kind of worried about LoL.
Right.
LoL seems to be the easy answer that's played in PC bangs and free-to-play, and that's the new business model. So, you know what? If we have to tolerate those kind of videos between, so be it. I just hope it works.
All right. Day two's tonight, I think. All the remaining matches.
I will watch tonight. I was way too tired last night.
Yeah.
We just got in, but Craig's a good VOD watcher. Bastard.
He's all over that shit.
Well, there's only two Zergs in the tournament, so it's easy for me to catch up on all the games I care about.
That's right. I saw that player list. It's like... Yeah, it's like 12 Protoss and 4 Terran and like 2 Zerg or something like that. Like,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of light. Kind of light on the Zergs. And Nesty's down a game already. So, old men not doing so well. PAX! What the hell are you guys doing there?
So, we're doing a booth with Kingston. Greg, myself, Machine, and Suppy will all be there, although Suppy and Greg have to play in the ESWC qualifier. And then Machine and I are going to be doing fan shootouts, and that's where you beat Machine and win prizes and lose to me and have a good time. And there's going to be bar crafts there. There's going to be parties. PAX itself is a great convention. It's going to show off a bunch of awesome games.
Is there a contest?
Hopefully XCOM. What's that?
A contest that, like, someone was going to...
There's so much shit going on with EG, I can't keep track of it these days, man.
Didn't someone like win a contest. Trip there or some shit?
We are probably. Sick.
Some kid won a trip there. Congrats, you're going to Seattle. I will also be doing the Red Bull Trial of the Zelnaga, which is where someone from the audience partners up with me and we do a 2v2 tournament where people in the audience can vote to completely screw someone over or help somebody out. Should be fun.
That sounds so hilariously terrible. I can't wait to watch that.
Oh, it's... I don't know. I hope I have fun. But Seattle's my hometown. I'm really excited to go home. I'm going to see my mom. I haven't actually been home to Seattle since December of last year. So I'm really excited to see everyone. I heard it's not 107 degrees there. yeah. Yikes. It's going to be fun, man.
One of the new things is spawn a Baneling minefield. Nice.
Oh, for the Red Bull thing?
Yeah. I'm down with
that. Oh, and Tugut will be there, and he's always a blast to hang out with. He's actually helping host the International, where our team is competing as well. And Justin Wong will be in Seattle as well. We get asked a lot if, like, the divisions interact, and for the most part, we don't. Like, we let Isaac live here because he's a WoW player, so he doesn't really have anywhere else to go. But then we have, like, Justin Wong we'll see at events, and he's freaking awesome. He's actually a living legend for his game. He's not even his game, his genre. He's just a fucking fighting game god. And then we interact with – we had Milk over here as well, who's kind of a MOBA legend as well. So it's going to be kind of cool to see the guys that we do talk to. And anytime we get to hang out with Greg and Bryce and – tolerate Suppy. It'll be fun. Like, we have to keep Suppy on a leash.
What? No. Hang out with Suppy. Tolerate Bryce.
Oh, right.
Wait, oh, mean, Bryce got hang out lowered on Puma? The totem pole.
Oh, shit.
It's terrible.
Is that a short joke panties, or I don't expect those short panties. Weird.
Sorry, the totem pole shrunk.
Oh, you're already jumping the gun again about the dick subject. Come on, man.
I left Suppy and Puma the final night of MLG introducing one another as each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that, but it's quite funny.
I did not see that.
It was quite funny, yeah.
It's uncanny,
Puma's
man.
Puma's like, hi, I'm Suppy.
It's so like the most racist realization that every white guy makes is that Suppy and Puma look exactly the same, except
did
except
someone
Puma had a
call
different color
one
every
of
time.
Them the other? Is that like how it all came up? Because
no, everyone just immediately, as soon as Suppy joined, everyone was just like, wait, yeah. He looks like Puma.
And he's Chinese and Puma's yeah. Korean. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
They're not even the same.
I think Suppy and MVP look quite a bit alike.
Kind of.
If he puts
actually,
the hat on and goes...
They pretty much all look...
Kind of does. That's what Suppy should...
Just keeping it real.
Be for Halloween MVP. Throw on one of those hats and walk around.
I think they both do
it
with their mouth
open,
so yeah.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Exactly.
People look so funny when they do that.
Some of the chats are, same what, Jack? You guys are awesome.
So, yeah. Match fixing. This weekend... At MLG Summer Championship, League of Legends team Dignitas and Curse colluded to split the pot.
Hey, wait, can you give us a little bit of, like, insider info on that?
So, Sunday.
That's the best part.
Sunday afternoon, 10:30 a.m., prior to all the players walking in for the finals matchup, Pain User. A meeting at Jimmy John's next to the hotel.
Oh, no shit.
Two
the Jimmy
teams.
John's sandwich place?
Collude to split the prize money, thus resulting in an ARAM for match number one, which was an all random, all middle. So basically, everyone chose random heroes, and then they all fought in the middle. And people were like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Dude.
So MLG said, hey. This is kind of a championship match. Maybe you should just, like, you know, play a real one. So they play. Only then, and I'm not sure how it was totally uncovered. I can't even validate the actual Jimmy John's thing because rumors, of course, are running rampant. But
yeah.
There was discussion in a chat and prior to about splitting the pots. So they stripped them of first and second. I guess the bigger question I wanted to ask you guys next to, like, you know, of course, what do you think about it? Which, you know, obviously, look, it's pretty bad, we, you know. But do you think the punishment was actually not severe enough?
I think it's entirely unfair how they did it. Like, they went and told them, you can't do that. And then they played out the rest of the match. As far as I know, they did it legitimately. And to then strip them, I think that's completely messed up. Like, they should have forfeited them immediately and had the third, fourth players play for the finals or something like that. That seems like the worst part of the whole thing to me, beyond the fact that they were actually just destroying the integrity of the tournament.
I kind of agree with that for sure. I feel like, if anything, though, we can kind of maybe point a little, like, I don't know. It just seems like taking a finals that casually, like, in what game would that really happen? I find that very difficult to believe, but then again, we do have match fixing in StarCraft to a certain extent. But it's not
just
like that.
Just face is making me nervous. I'm wondering if I've done this in the past and forgot about it or something.
I don't know. It totally ruins the spirit of competition. You're at a tournament. You're in the finals at that level. You know what all the fans want. They certainly don't want to see a freaking all random, all mid. And obviously, people are going to pick up that something's wrong if you're not picking like a proper hero comp for a tournament. So I don't really know what their thinking was. Maybe if these two teams play a lot and they trade games 50-50,
well,
and they know
next,
that they can beat
next,
each other or something.
This week is the championship. So there was this other sort of, I don't even know if you want to just say a suspected motive that, you know, they didn't necessarily want to show their games. They didn't want to show. But honestly, it's like you show up to a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, come on. There's money on the line. There's prestige, pride, your sponsors, your teams. I mean, it's just they made a mockery of their game and the competition and the spirit of competition at the highest level of LoL. They basically just made it seem like a big freaking joke. And the question is it really, like, I find it hard to believe that everyone on the team has that, like, a serious lack of the competitive instinct. Like, no one on either team stood up and was like, no.
Well,
like,
no, we're not going to do this. The competitive instinct is kicking in for the tournament next week, the one with, like, $1 million prizes and stuff. Like, I understand their motives. It's just it's not okay for the tournament.
Million in-dollar dollar, or in-game dollars, though, Greg. They can buy unlimited skins and stuff.
Wow. For LoL players, that's probably even better.
It'd be the sickest. I just solved their whole economic crisis over there. Right. Couple things. Greg, to your point, the reason I was making that face is, like, I can't even for a second fault MLG for what they did. Grabbing the third and fourth place team, having them play the final sounds nice, but they're off probably at Jimmy John's as well, stuffing their faces with third and fourth place dollar bill, you know, sandwiches. So you can't do that. Like, you can't walk on stage and go, hold on, hey, hang on, so, guys, stay in the state, please. You're all fucking disqualified, both of you. Dumb shits, okay? Dumb shits. Get out. Get out.
Really fucked up this time.
Third and fourth, please. Please approach the stage. Like, you can't do that because it's going to actually butcher the stream. So they let them play it out, which I think is great. They should have actually been, like, they should have, like, in-game introduced shit that, like, a weird neutral hero comes out and starts butchering people. And
no, they should have, like, been like, by the way, we've decided to make this a double extended series. So have fun, motherfuckers.
You will play until Tuesday of next week. So, I mean, that's that, you know, and whatever. The biggest thing for me is the massive turd that these two teams took on their game, on their community, on the tournament itself, MLG. No, it's not the championship. Yes, you want to hide your best strategies for the bigger tournament, sure, but you're in the finals of a tournament. Have some fucking pride. There's a difference in prize money. Like, I watched the interview with Seltzer Please and St. Vicious, and he's like, we don't really care about the money. Like, we have more money than we could care about. Well, then there's your problem. Like, fucking play for the money. Play for something. And if you're going to, like, hide your best strats, pick different heroes for the finals, then come out and tell people that. If you honestly don't care about the money, if you don't care about winning the tournament, then what harm is there in picking your worst characters and sending out misinformation that then other teams are, like, studying? Or maybe you don't say that you played that worst character, so then the other teams in the finals are studying wrong information or something like that. Like,
yeah,
there's other things to do that doesn't get you disqualified by something that has been in MLG's rules since Halo did it, okay?
Yeah,
you
absolutely
actually cannot agree to split the cash money publicly. Like, that part just goes, like, how do they even think that it could get... It could ever be okay where they're like, introducing two teams that aren't actually playing for the money and aren't taking it serious. It is Curse Gaming and, you know, Team Dignitas. And the final, and the fans are like, I can't wait to watch them not give a shit. It's going to be so fun.
You got, and I just want to say something here to all these, you know, just fucking asshats that are like, why would you even talk about this? This is League of Legends. It's like, you know, remember when we talked about, like, the article where they associated gaming or compared gaming to basically an addiction, or the Frag documentary that focused on, like, the drugs and all the parties that took place at these events? It's like, this is exactly the kind of thing that will just be that one next fucking thing that the mainstream will be like, well, I could write about the competition, all the great play, you know, shit that that they give away and all the players and all the great stuff, but these guys match fixed, and that is a great story.
Yeah,
let's publish
absolutely.
It. And that's why it's important. Like, we should be just as loud as anyone else who said, hey, guys, this is fucking bullshit, and you guys are dumbasses.
Yep.
Yeah, because we don't want that shit in our shit. We do not want it.
Very eloquent.
I assume the random middle thing literally does not happen in competition. It's just like a complete joke.
Right. It's like Star Strikers. It's a UMS.
I can't believe how stupidly they went about it. Then, like, it's easy to not win a game if you don't want to. I mean, I don't play LoL, but I imagine in StarCraft 2 you could very easily lose without making it obvious.
Yeah, you just pick fucked up characters. And what if you accidentally
you
win?
You don't even have to do that. Whoa, you just fucking play bad. Like,
you can just
much
leave
less characters.
Too.
Yeah. Well, no, that's just as up. obvious.
I don't know. I partly agree with the chat. Like, and Wheat's right. We got to talk about this because they need to get their hands burned so that in the future they're like, wow, I was really dumb. Because they're a new community and they're attracting thousands, hundreds of thousands of new eyes. Like, it's really important that they do a good job. But at the same time, is this – I mean, no, I'm not going to – that would just be silly. But, yeah, I ran myself into a corner. I was going to say they're all fucking idiots for playing that game anyways, but that's like kind of silly.
Anyway, like, yeah, just run a different comp, you know? Pick a different hero comp, play a different style, play the completely ass-backwards style of what you were going to play. If you're going to play, like, a defensive conservative style, just go absolutely bonkers and try and gank people. Like, I don't really care, but just – anything is better than all random five mid and just throwing the whole competition in the face of everyone. Like, you're not going to get away with that.
Well, they're just, you know? They're idiots. Like,
yeah, it's foolishness. It's just absolute foolishness. And it's not like the MOBA community is new to competition.
Oh, see, there it is. It's already, god damn it. It didn't take long, did it? That fucking Kotaku already has a goddamn article up about it. Fucking see what I'm telling you, you fucking guys? You think I'm talking? And even, oh my fucking god, look at this fucking bullshit. God damn it, I fucking hate being right. Look at that shit. It fucking even says scandal in the fucking bracket in the graphic. With misfortune there, because she's a scandalous bitch. Fuck me. God.
Scandal.
Scandal.
You know what, though? The real story for me, how do those pants stay up on that girl when she's fighting in the middle of wall?
Really tight belt.
Her knees are way too bony, though.
Passive is like, keeps pants up all times. Making you run faster.
It gets real when it's on rakakakakaka. That's when it gets real. Rakakakaka.
I'm sure. Oh, it was all over
Rakakakaka.
It was already fucking all over it. All right.
All right. Let's get to the big finale, the big bang.
Yeah. Anyone want to like tell the
point
story?
Points that Pain User is trying to get to earlier.
No, I'm not. Not really. It's like whatever, man. Destiny's just constantly surrounded by a cloud of drama. It's like this kid. Eat, lives, breathes. He's either a tactical genius, and he's just promoting his own brand like through scandal after scandal. It just surrounds him. And I've met the guy.
Had his stream link on his dick, then it would have been.
So that would be like Dota 2 style advertising. Done Destiny. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, what the hell are you doing? How are you getting caught up in these fucking just crazy, god-awful situations that get published across the whole internet and Reddit? You have to leave MLG to like go address some penis scandal with naked pictures. Like,
dude,
what is going on?
I'll tell you what, though. I was at Ground Zero. When this shit... When this load dropped, when this came down on us, I was there. And I was front row, Destiny's behind me, we're buds, been chatting it up, and I get this tweet that goes out and it says something like, I can't remember what the first tweet was, it was like, lol, here's my dick, and I noticed it was Stephen Bonnell, and I was like, oh, that's weird. Obviously, I gotta click that link, so I click it open. It is a man with the blood flow going to the action spot. He's ready. He's definitely got that creepy internet pose. Like, if you're going to take pictures of your dick, you do, like, one of these things, you know, where it's like... Because you need to have...
You're laying on
hip,
the... You're laying,
your
like, on the
forward.
Bed.
You got a full trajectory. You need to be able to deliver the picture. Nobody takes... You ever notice this? No one takes a dick pic like this because they're sunken hips. Because now we're talking about 3 or 4 good inches gone, just folded up into your flesh. So it's always like this. It's always back like this. And I thought his account got hacked, because that happens. Like, if I'm a 12-year-old prepubescent boy that's getting tired of DDoSing legitimate professionals, the next step is to hack their Twitter and to distribute pictures of wieners. That's like, that's what you do. So I'm thinking I'm helping Steven out. I turn to him, and I go, hey, dude, nice dick. Now, here's where he becomes, in my opinion, even more legendary of a pro. If someone showed me a picture of my dick that I had sent out to people, my face would be something like this. Like, I'd fucking melt down right there. I would start crying. I would start like shaking. I would do like the, I gotta go. Like, oh, I'm very bad. Gotta go.
Put your hoodie on backwards and run.
How good Steven is. Like, he's so fucking cool. Here's his face, and we can do this with a webcam. So he hears me say, because I said it before I show him, I go, hey, Steven, nice dick, you know, and I'm like turning around, and his face goes like, it goes from this to this. It goes to this. And then he just gets in his laptop. Didn't fucking change. This guy stone cold stared down a picture of his own wiener coming off of my cell phone in the middle of an MLG. Okay? That is freaking... This guy, you could sit in Abu Ghraib, man, ask him where the bomb is, he could be tickling all his veins, all his nerves, and he would not give you an inch. You fucking shit. Might give you 6 inches, though, if you're a girl. But good Lord, that guy is a cool customer. And from that point forward, it comes out that he, you know, forfeits the rest of the tournament. I, of course, being the drama whore that I am, I went full historian mode on this thing. Like, I read his subreddit, which I didn't know existed. There's, like, a minor solidarity moment where people were posting.
I think that's my favorite part of the whole thing.
They were posting.
Oh, my God. That is a bit crazy. Yeah, that was...
That happened.
I would politely ask all fans to never ever even consider the notion.
I want to know if my fans would do that for me now. Like, if that somehow happened, how many of my fans?
I don't know what level they'd take it to, Greg. But I think you can rest assured they'd go.
Greg,
they'd go that far.
In addition to a picture of my cock, here's also me spreading my ass cheeks. You know, I figure that if it's just one more, then maybe.
There's a full monologue from his live-in girlfriend that was talking about it. Like, she ends up being the coolest customer in the world. She's like, you know what? I want to hear his side of the story. We couldn't do it text-based, so I'm going to wait till he gets home and we're going to talk it out.
I want to know in her head what story makes this whole thing okay.
Well, you can butt dial a lot of people, Greg. it's
accidentally send pictures. You know, you're just looking at it. Accidentally hit that green button.
I'll tell you what, tip of the hat to the StarCraft II community, because in those chat logs, in those pictures, one of our biggest streamers, no pun intended, probably, this guy has his picture on the internet of his wiener. He divulges that he slept with Mia Rose. It's like, it's just out there. He's streaming one day later, and everything's cool. We're all calm. It's great. Which is good. I'm not even being sarcastic. Because if our community can survive a dick pic scandal, We're ready for mainstream. We are ready for mainstream. And I'll tell you what, if the guys that are doing the dick pic scandals, Destiny, if they can stone face stare down their own wiener on someone else's phone and they're cool with it, then we are ready for the mainstream. I've never been this confident that we could stick together through thick and thin, through the hard times. And the flaccid.
I guess the thing that's the most, I don't even think surprising is the right word, like flabbergasting. I don't know, but like, the fact that it keeps creeping up with Steven. Like, Steven. Dude.
Yeah.
Homie.
It's always like the most compelling argument you make to someone. They're like, man, I've got such terrible luck. And it's like, no.
It keeps getting worse, too. We've got to figure out what the next one's going to be. Like, where can you go from there?
Who knows?
It's exciting to see.
Destiny gets caught fooling around in Korean pro gaming training house. Like,
my favorite
leaks photos.
My favorite sequence of events that came out of this, though, reading his subreddit, was that someone had analyzed the pictures of his wiener to the level where they discovered that he actually suffers from it's not really a deformity, but it's like some kind of condition where, I don't want to go into too much detail, but the last word of the name of it is breve, like B-R-E-V-E. And Steven like said, he was like, man, you know you've made it when you're talking about your like wiener's abnormalities publicly on a forum. And the next person posted, so breve. I thought that was pretty well played.
Well, fascinating. You know, people are like, oh, it doesn't deserve any attention, and it doesn't. But again,
fucking hilarious,
you know, Kotaku posts a scandal about League of Legends, and the next it's like, dick pics in esports.
It's like the reliving high school of the StarCraft community's drama. Like, it's unbelievable. It's like, how does this happen? And the weirdest part is like Destiny, when you meet him in person, he's like a nice, seemingly like mature, well-spoken dude.
I'm not sure, but he is a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, at least with me, he's relatively mature. He's not linking me to pictures of his dick that he was sending to ex-girlfriends.
Oh, he doesn't do that for you?
Nah.
You're not one of the close friends then.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's one of my friends. You know, and as
But you know what? Bros have a dick code, okay? We don't release each other's dick pics, all right? That's why you don't give them to girls.
Well, I think the most constructive thing we can take away from this is, like, I'll tell you what. There are some, like, there's actually, I just want to come out and say this. There's actually no scenario, unless you're sending it to, like, your wife or girlfriend or something, where, and even then, guy, like, let's actually just say it. There's actually no good time to send a picture of your dick to anyone.
Yeah.
Unless it's a doctor or something like that. Like, doctor, is it weird that half of this is missing? Or something like that.
Well, unless you're totally anonymous. Like,
no. No, pain user, that still falls into the category of not a good time. We're not going to encourage people to anonymously send pictures of their dicks to people. Like, that's still a bad thing.
I think he means the picture of the dick cannot be traced to you. If it's just
that's what I mean. Like,
playing with fire. You're playing with a...
That's what you think, but there's a secret FBI organization that can do exactly what you're talking about.
No way. Like, if you don't have your face, like you said, the nerd pose, that totally gives it away. The, like, the house. Like,
the red jersey, too, perhaps. You might want to avoid that.
I don't know. It's just...
All right. Next topic to discuss, just under that one, is Mana Making Code S. Congratulations.
Steven.
Yes, discussions.
I feel like we gave him the shaft on the order of those stories, but...
We did give him the shaft pretty badly, but... Everyone doesn't realize that we're just trolling the entire audience of Inside the Game, so...
Obviously.
Steven, man.
Perfect.
No more dick pics, bro.
Or at least, you know, according to Taylor, keep them anonymous.
Or if it worked for you, man, maybe just being the first streaming naked guy is the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, we have nude beaches. We have, like, entire colonies where people just walk around naked, like...
And we, as a Twitch employee, you actually could be the guy to call that shot. Like,
well, no, he streams on Owned, and you can do anything over there, so he's good to go.
Oh, because they're European. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
the European thing. You could start a new trend, actually. European streaming.
He could. Or it could just be one of a kind.
Can we say this, though? Like, how... At least the one dick crisis that we have out there for StarCraft 2, at least it's a pretty good dick. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be really embarrassing if it was a substandard wiener. You know what I mean?
If it turns out Destiny has a micropenis or something, how terrible would that be for him?
Exactly. At least when other gaming
gamers,
so I heard their, you know, when they compare their dick controversies, I want to know where Destiny stacks up with, like, the Halo dick controversy. I feel like we'd have an advantage there because most of those will be 13 years old. So I think we should,
If they come out with, like, a big dick, then all the StarCraft 2 players have to get together and find proper representation.
It's an arms race. Could be the... Well, I was going to make a Maximus Black joke, but...
Bad form, Jack. Bad form.
It's complimentary. It can't be that bad.
All right. Steven, no more dick pics. Let's do it. In all seriousness, Mana does make its code S, which is good news, considering that a few others have pretty much opted out or due to schedules just could not play. One of them being Thorzane. Cannot do his up and down matches, and there's another player. Help me. Who is the other player?
Well, half the Koreans, like all the Koreans are stuck in California.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was another foreign player. I thought it was just Thorzane and Banner.
Okay, maybe it was just Thorzane.
Maybe Sase or Naniwa?
I don't think it was Naniwa, but
I don't know.
But Manna makes it. He's the only foreigner in there, and I haven't watched the games myself. Admittedly, I blasted through the OSL stuff just to check that out. But we do obviously support foreigners in the GSL. And just because we put a dick story before Manna's entering Dakota doesn't mean we support it any less. So take that. Oh, my God. The chat is out of control, man.
Well, that's what happens.
The hilarious thing is I'm pretty sure it's actually all the same guy with different accounts just doing that.
Sick.
And then everyone else is just going in. Nice.
Do Greg's favorite part, man.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time for some open phones, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that.
We're bringing the goat.
Telephone 909-581-8519. Skype DJ Wheat. Can call.
Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war.
I will tell the story about the six pool tomorrow on Inside or on Live on 3, which is pretty awesome. Stefano fucking trolled pretty good. Let's take our first call. Area code 313. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Call the LOL team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't appreciate your comments about us on Inside the Game. We take LOL very seriously.
No, they're cool, man. St. Vicious, really.
They are.
I like
his
interviews.
I like Elements a lot, too. He's a cool guy. But area code 612, hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
What's up, dude?
You know, I'm pretty new to the SC2 community, not new to the game, but you guys represent a lot of the professional levels and professional commentary and pretty much you know, what I look for in a community with this scandal, the Dick Pic scandal, do you think that's going to have any interference with where, you know, I look at, especially you in control editor and user, you guys really push a new level for professionalism. Do you think this is going to be hurt you guys in any way, shape, or form, or the community, or what's your take on it?
First and foremost, we definitely excel in the professionalism era.
Absolutely.
That is why we knew we needed to have a proper discussion about penises on the show, to really show just how professional. But in all seriousness, I think that because Destiny has been the focus of these issues before, that almost isn't going to help it destroy it or anything, because people almost expect it. I don't know what else to say. What do you
think? Yeah, like, he's already been removed from any connection with any major sponsor, like, resigned from his team in regards to the previous incident. Like, at this point, it's just, like, more comic relief for everyone in the community. I don't think that this, like, directly affects any sponsors in any way. I mean, I guess maybe, like, I don't even want to get into the whole, like, hurting esports thing. It's just, like, it's whatever. Like,
well, if you look at professional, if you look at professional sports, you have people like this, like, no one comes to mind, but there are people like this.
Brett Favre.
Well, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking, like, people who just, like, act inappropriately. They get fined constantly and whatnot. And there's enough money flowing around that they can still be on a proper team, and they just get fined, and that compensates for it. Here, his punishment is not being on a team, and he solely makes revenue off of his streaming and whatnot. It's just like he's comic relief. He's what the part of the community that just wants to watch stupid shit, they watch him. And then everyone who's worried about professionalism watches everything else, and we don't really associate with him on a level that could make us look less professional, besides laughing at a stick.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we joke around and have fun with it, and we move on. 1 week from now, we're not going to talk about it. It's done.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
It is.
It's not going to leave traces of, like, you know, no one in 13 years is going to be like, we built a time machine to go back to prevent Destiny's dick pics from reaching the internet. Because it single-handedly, as a moment, destroyed esports 6 years from the moment that it, you know.
Sponsors ran. Fans fleed.
League of Legends took over. Go ahead.
I guess
Cole.
The only reason why I bring that up is because in recent light of the MLB, you know, there's a bad article in MLB Rally done by I think it was a local newspaper. An article that was done, but not painted in a proper light. There's just a couple of things that are coming to attention in the community, and I just, you know, I understand that you say other sports have many characters that are like this, but I think it's fair to say that you're not other, you know, the SEC community is not like other sports where they have such a garnered such a platform and guaranteed base fanship where, you know, I don't know, I guess you guys are the ones who know more than me. I just wonder, does that hurt or does it not? And apparently you guys have asked that question. It's not that big of a deal. It's what's expected.
No. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's just more of the same.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you, dude. Too.
Bye.
You too, man.
All right. Let's take this one. We've got Ben on the line. Hello, Ben. Oh, Ben hung up. Well, fuck you, Ben. I didn't want to talk to you anyway, man. Think you're a dick. No pun intended. Let's take this one. We've got Edmund on the phone. Hello, Edmund. Welcome to Inside the Game.
God
damn it, Edmund. Mute your stream, you... Edmund.
Sorry, guys. Was the stream on?
Edmund fails. All right. Hello, Jason. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, I got a question for Idra here.
I'm sorry? Did you just say, I have a question for you? Is Idra here?
No, I have a question
for Idra here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I kind of figured it out a little bit during the Vol talk you were laying it on. A little bit thick. I just want to know when you're going to stop throwing games in SC2 and release the hidden Bondra that I know you are so I can start making bets online.
What are you talking about?
Soon.
We will. If you can read Greg's shirt, I don't know if you're stream. Greg, can you sit up a little bit for me, please?
I'm not that tall. I'll move the webcam down. There we go.
Okay. Release the Kraken, man. You have to just buy that for $24.99 off of EG's...
Splitreason.com/EG.
You can actually release the fucking Kraken yourself. They will ship it to your house.
If we sell enough of those, I will start winning games, I promise you.
Hand in hand.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Jason. All right. He's out of here. That's fucking hilarious, man. That was just priceless. Let's take Willem. Hello, Willem. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on? All right, I got a question about bar crafts. Now, in your opinion, I don't know how many bar crafts you've been to. I'm assuming that you've all been to at least one or two. Now, for the organizer to be seen drinking, is this good or bad?
Because yeah. My course, thoughts... it's a bar craft!
Wait, the bar craft organizer is drinking?
My opinion is that... he is the face of the organization putting on the bar craft and therefore should present himself in a professional manner.
Dude, if you're trying to make serious money off of bar craft, there's other ventures you could go into. Bar crafts are all about fun.
Hold on, Willem. What happened, Willem? What happened?
That's ridiculous.
What happened, Willem?
Okay, I was at bar craft. It's a sponsored event.
Right.
There's a number of different local and... national organizations being represented by the organization that put on the bar craft.
Okay.
And the organizer. First I'll just preface with, I think that you should be seen at the bar craft if you are the face of the bar craft with a drink in hand, having a good time. I don't think that you should get exorbitantly drunk.
Was said individual shit-faced, like embarrassingly shit-faced?
I and a number of other individuals who are... members of the organization were embarrassed, yes,
okay.
For him.
No, I don't think that anyone should get embarrassedly shit-faced.
At the same time, it's like the demographic of this bar graph is obviously kids who are 19 to 28 or whatever and love to have a good time.
Europeans. So you guys are trying to clean up the bar craft scene, huh?
No, he just doesn't want the organizer, right? You're not saying...
I get his point. You don't want to be pissed drunk, obviously.
Look, if I throw a bar craft, right? Or maybe, I don't know. I understand that it's like, if someone is trying to get sponsors for said bar craft, like, set it up and make it a legitimate... you know, thing is, obviously it's about having fun, pain user, but...
that's it. That, like, if you have a great time at your bar craft, it will thrive. I'm not talking about great time being shit-faced drunk. I'm saying
If you drink, everyone has a good time. It's all inclusive. Everyone's talking about StarCraft, having a blast. Drive.
I just want to thank everyone for coming out of that. Fucking like, shut, get your fucking hand off me.
No, I think I understand where we're from.
You are. Like, you don't fucking touch me.
I mean,
listen, Will, I fucking love everyone.
I'm assuming that Willem wouldn't call up if it was just like, hey, got drunk, you know, it's good, it's all fun. Versus
hey guys.
Getting.
We don't know the extent of how drunk he was either. Like, you know,
yeah, it's obviously just a threshold thing. Like,
okay, but
like
I said, it's a party. I wanted to gear the question more towards what is the line to be drawn between representing. But between professionalism and kind of performing for the demographic.
Well, it's still a party. He's not really trying to sell the sponsors there, probably, and he's already done all the organizational work. Like, I don't think the threshold is very far beyond what would be acceptable for anyone in public. Like, he shouldn't be pissing himself and falling over, but short of that,
I totally agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you guys are at a bar.
Did you see the after party that had the Kespa guys?
No, there? I didn't.
Okay. Okay.
Was it? Oh, at it the Twitch? Yeah.
It was after Anaheim.
Oh God.
Oh no, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right.
Was it disgraceful?
I don't think it was disgraceful, but like I was drunk. Like I was probably visibly drunk.
Well, I should hope so.
Well,
at every Twitch
you know,
party,
but
I've ever
are you
been
saying
to,
it's like you weren't the one
drunk.
Who organized it, or?
Oh, of course not. But I was, you know, I had a good time as well. I got pretty drunk, but.
Do you think it was a bad face for the organization as a result of what happened?
Yeah. Were any did any sponsors like come up to you or any of the other organizers and be like, "Wow, like this guy's a little out of control"? Like.
Well, I actually had no involvement with the organization of the BarCraft, but I know a few of the other people, not necessarily the main people, were kind of like, you know, had their faces being grasped by their palms.
Huh.
But I don't know, man. It wasn't like it was one of these moments where I was like, man, is he going too far? Like, am I legit here, or am I kind of just being a little bitch that wants to see?
I think you should confront this guy. I think you should
do it.
I made a meme about it. And I feel like that's adequate.
You made a meme about it? Tweet it to me, and let me see it.
All right, I'll tweet it to you.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll get it, but I will.
Okay. All right. Well, Willem, I hope the next BarCraft goes a little better for you, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Me too.
I hate to hear that.
Actually, it's interesting to note, with the name Willem, I mean, if this is taking place in Scotland or Ireland, this conversation's way the fuck off base. Like,
Willem's a Dutch name, but I'm Canadian.
Listen, in my stereotypical American films, there are Willems in Scotland, sir. Willem.
All right. Thank you, Willem. Appreciate
right, man.
It. Take care,
man. Peace, guys.
Pass me the mead.
All right.
It's time. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we got to fit this guy in. It's Goatlust. Hello, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, yeah. G'day, mate. Not half bad. How are you, gents?
Well, I mean, I did see a lot of StarCraft this weekend. I worked really hard. I don't know. I've had some better days, but at least my dick isn't on the internet.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's always that.
Yeah. That's what you think, Wade.
That sounded like a New Zealander to me, pain user.
Oh, sound like a wanker.
In the solidarity thread, there's like a green check mark, Wheat. He's like, yeah, man. Stand up for your brother.
So what's up with you this week, Goatlust?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say to Greg, do you remember Manor fucking ages ago? I still, every time I see that kid, I think of that fucking series you played against him in NASL like fucking ages ago.
Oh, yeah, the Wing Banelings one?
The Banelings?
Yeah. He still remembers it, too. We were talking about it the last tournament we were together at. That left him.
That has to feel weird, because in person, now that you've met him, you know that he's like one of the absolute nicest people on the frickin' planet.
There's so many people like that. No. It wasn't like a drama series or whatever. It was just I played Link Baneling and he didn't know how to deal with it, so it was really fun at games.
I was talking about the time way back when you were just telling him he's a fucking horrible player the whole time. And
oh yeah, he knows.
It was good because in the interview after, ZVP was like really hard for Zerg, and they're like, "Oh, do you think you've fucking worked out something new here, Greg?" And Idra's like, "Oh, not really. It's just a really good way to smash someone who's a ton worse than you."
Hey, it still is. So yeah. So good.
Yeah. Anyhow, my question this week is about team TSL, and you know, it's pretty common of a fucking viewpoint that it's not doing as well this time around. And I was just wondering if what you guys think the place it has in the community is right now, and if it needs to change at all going forward.
You said GSL?
TSL, Team Liquid Starlink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just it's kind of fallen behind the times. I mean, it's only an online tournament. The graphics are... I don't know. I don't particularly like them. I know some people do, but I know quite a few personally don't. They're a very specific style. They're not the normal, epic, generically cool graphics that tournaments go for. A lot of the players, it was a purely a qualifier thing, which is respectable, but the problem is you do purely qualifier things online, you get a lot of random A-teamer Koreans who don't have any scoreline, and they're really good, but that's not what drives viewership, drives excitement. Plus, everything's cross-server. Everyone knows that, at least the sloppier games. And for the people who know what that means, it's less exciting. So, yeah, it's kind of gotten left behind. I really wish it would have done at least top 8, go to an offline thing. That would have made it much better.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's just purely online, and then a lot of Koreans are participating this time around, like a ton. And I think while Team Liquid definitely... I mean, obviously loves Koreans as well. I think it's really cool to kind of promote our own storylines and our own players and grow them onto a platform where they're on the same level or field as the Korean superstars. And I think TSL is a great platform to do that within the TL community and within the StarCraft community. And I don't think they're taking full advantage of that. But I mean, that being said, it's kind of hard to like doctor the qualifiers or prevent certain people from participating at this point. Esports, so I don't know. That's a really good question. I'd have to think about it for a while. Anything, Jeff?
I think it'd be interesting to talk to a Team Liquid guy on like a Live on 3, like a long interview, because I wonder if they're happy with it. The viewership numbers seem pretty good. The competition seems pretty good. Is this their advertisement, they show sponsors and say, hey, this is why you should be a part of us, and moving forward, would the sponsors be okay? I don't know. I think they would. So I don't think TSL is a failure. And when you can't call it a failure, it's hard to say that they need to change or do things differently, because right now, of online tournaments, TSL is the best, I would say.
That's true.
But I guess my kind of going off the same vein as WCS earlier, it's like they are the best for the online tournament. But I still would rather my expectation for Team Liquid is really high, really high. Like when they did an online league for Brood War, they had to, because we didn't have the ability, the funding or anything to do something offline. And that's what made it so magical. Now it's StarCraft II, where we've actually gotten to a point where players are starting to lose because they're traveling too much. It's like there's a there's an oversaturation in tournaments right now. So I think what a Hotbit or one of those guys would tell you is, well, that's precisely why we are online, is it's more accommodating to players and it fills a niche. There's no real good online tournaments right now. But for me, and probably a lot of the hardcore people, I would say, watching an online tournament casted from replays is underwhelming, unfortunately. Absolutely. I would just love to hear their I'd like to hear their behind-the-scenes answers. Are they happy with it? Do they want to change it? Because I think everyone recognizes this is not an MLG. Like, when it's TSL weekend, I don't feel the need to go shopping for snacky foods and, you know, like, wear sweatpants at home. I'm like, okay, cool, that's an awesome stream to watch. Like, I've caught a lot of the matches. But as far as the league is considered moving forward, is this the model they want to keep? I'd be very interested to see what they say about that.
Yeah, so would I.
Yep.
Word.
All right, then. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey.
I'll
Goat Lust.
Catch you next week.
As always,
take it easy, buddy.
Thanks.
Fucking Mini Wheat, man.
What did he do?
You just got stream bombed by Mini Wheat.
What did he do?
He danced perfectly in frame, waved, and then danced perfectly off frame.
At least he wasn't naked this time.
Yeah, at least he wasn't.
That was actually, speaking of.
Thank God. Oh, my God. That was
And, like, internet scientists are like, because he's your son, if you age the wiener, like, 25 years, you can get what Weez probably looks like.
We've used the same software that CSI uses to identify people by their penis and... Yeah, all right.
There's those programs that, like, combine parents and then show what their kids would look like. There should be, like, a wiener program where it takes the son and the father and, like, yeah.
This is what your penis will be like in 30 years.
I gotta tell you. There's never a moment in the house where you're not getting trolled by someone.
Mm.
Like whether Mini Wheat is getting it or I saw that you're in big trouble, buddy. Sorry. All right, let's say goodbye. We've got the people that have things they got to do.
Have a good
Thank you, Goat Lust. We'll see you next time. Peace. All right, Taylor, let's wrap this shit.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Really appreciate it. Please follow me on Twitter, @painuser. I'm going to go get some dinner. You guys, close it up.
Greg,
follow me.
The shoutouts are getting shorter and shorter.
Follow me on Twitter, @idrichit. Thank you to EG, all our sponsors. New title sponsor, Raid Call. Intel SteelSeries sponsor, King Sniper X, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. And go buy a Release the Gracken shirt. From splitreason.com/EG. They got a bunch of other stuff there too, but it's not as cool as my shirt because I'm on my shirt. And thank you all for watching.
GF?
Yeah, just echoing the sentiments of thanking our sponsors. Obviously, we're really excited with Raid Call. PAX is this coming weekend, and if you are in the Seattle area, if you are attending PAX, the Kingston booth will have EG people crawling all over it if you want to play a fighting game against Justin Wong. And by the way, I've done a shootout with Justin Wong. He does not goof around. He's not actually there to have fun. He's there to murder people, to smash the shit out of them. He doesn't even smile the whole time. He puts his hood up, sits down, and he murders these people that have played it like three times. He's an obvious tryhard, but it's fun for people to get destroyed by one of the best players on the planet, so please do that. And then also, Machine and myself will be playing as well, so you can play StarCraft there. I think Wheat is going to be a part of this in some capacity.
I'll be there. He'll be there. A few hours every day.
Yeah, buddy. It'll be awesome. And then Trial of Zelnaga, obviously, to check that out. I'm going to be probably getting trolled by an entire audience of people while I get murdered in a 2v2 tournament for fun. And then after that, September is a little bit more open. But EG is obviously constantly working on some pretty fun stuff. I know that the Masters Cup is coming back, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be awesome. And that's just some of the best teams on the planet playing for a big cash prize. Isaac, our prodigy WoW guy that is able to cast StarCraft 2 on a really high level, will be casting with us, and it's going to be awesome. And that is about it. Just, you know, thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter, EG in Control. And I'll be streaming, so thank you.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess I could wrap with, like, a life lesson. Mini-Wheat, come here. Mini-Wheat, come here. All right, come here.
What?
Come here. All right, listen. This is a life lesson for all those kids out there.
Spanked on hair.
All right? Never put a picture of your prick on the internet, okay? Now get out of here. Never do it, all right? Never, ever, ever. All right? With that being said, thanks for tuning in to Inside the Game. Thank you to our sponsors, SteelSeries, Monster Energy, and Kingston HyperX. And I've got an interview with you, Jeff, that I'm going to play to close out the show. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Actually, tomorrow for Live on 3. All right? So come and tune in 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All that good shit. With that being said, I'm trying to find the interview and buy myself a few more minutes so I can find it. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. There we go. No, I got it. I got it, man.
Okay. Mom,
I got it, man.
A prick.
I got it. It'll come. All right, peace, guys. Peace.
Hi, this is Anna Prosser for Kingston HyperX here at MLG Raleigh, the Summer Championships in 2012. I'm standing here with the ever handsome and oh-so attractive and intelligent Jeff Robinson, a.k.a. In Control, the captain of Team Evil Geniuses. Jeff, give us the rundown of how this tournament went for you. We're on day three now. And then maybe kind of an overview of how your team did.
Not so hot for me. I played okay, so it was good. Didn't have a meltdown or anything like that. But results-wise, it's more of the same. Just a few rounds into the loser bracket before meeting up with a pretty good player and then losing narrowly 1-2. A bit frustrating result-wise. But for the rest of the team, it was pretty good. Greg and Huck seem to have put their winning ways back on track. Puma was deep in the tournament, had really tough opponents, but we're proud of him. He played well. And then introducing Suppy. Suppy actually lost four best of threes this weekend, and they were both, all four of them were to Huck and Indra.
The team kill curse of EG seems...
He lost another one. He lost Area Manon or something like that. He lost him too.
So, you know, you mentioned to me that some of your losses, or actually I think only all of your losses, were based on a build that you had never seen before. And I'm wondering, you know, that's something that doesn't happen in a lot of games. You know, StarCraft has a tendency to keep reinventing itself. People come up with new strategies that change the way everybody else plays. But I've also heard a lot of people saying, you know, we're kind of plateauing. Our viewership has plateaued. Maybe there's not as much hype around these events as there was. Do you think StarCraft is in danger of plateauing, or do you think it's always going to keep doing that reinventing?
Well, I think plateauing has an unnecessary negative connotation in this association because we've plateaued at a healthy, sustainable point. So it's when you say plateau, you're talking about like usually you're talking about how something's not getting better and that's therefore it's bad. But with StarCraft, it's such a complex, difficult community slash game that you can't really expect it to continuously grow because people are going to come, check it out. It's not their bag. They're going to go to something more simple like LOL, and that's where they're going to be because it's more casual. But StarCraft is extremely in-depth and alienating in that way. So if we have enough people that keeps tournaments interested and we have a good audience, that's all we can ask for. If Harder Than Swarm can shoot, you know, the audience numbers up, good.
So you don't think StarCraft is in danger of becoming like a Warcraft 3 where the pro scene basically becomes, you know, non-existent?
No, I mean, Warcraft 3 had a 10-plus year tenure as a professional sport played around the world, so I don't know that we should worry about becoming Warcraft 3, but would the end of StarCraft 2 look like a Warcraft 3 scene where the pro gamers flew off to other games and the community died? I mean, in the gaming world, that kind of naturally happens usually, but in StarCraft, our expectation is a good decade of competitive playing, and I think that's an expectation people can have for StarCraft 2.
So EG is, you know, one of those forefront teams leading with new sponsors, new players, a lot of growth, a lot of hype. What do you think makes EG have that je ne sais quoi, that X factor, the fact that your team is not only surrounded by so much hype, but also so much scrutiny?
The je ne what?
Je ne sais quoi.
What is that?
It's a French word for the you don't know what. It's very refined. It's pretty.
We speak American, please.
Okay. Well, in refined company, most people would know what that means, but it's okay. I mean,
yeah, maybe there.
I can explain it to you more if you want.
You French people. What was your question? Why are we so good?
What makes EG under so much scrutiny as well as surrounded by so much hype?
We get to interview ourselves and ask ourselves loaded questions like, why are you so awesome? And then we get to put that on our websites and tweet about it to hundreds of thousands of people. And our sponsors like it because we're wearing their clothes and we're talking well. So, I mean, that's definitely a leg up. Other teams just kind of sulk into tournaments, don't win it, and then go home and practice more to not win tournaments. That's actually that got really pessimistic pretty quick. EG does very well because it's a well-rounded organization where we are geared towards trying to win tournaments by acquiring the best talent, but then also fostering talent by putting them in the best places to train. Certainly Korea is the best place to train, but also domestically preparing for MLG and keeping our sponsors on the home front happy with the lair in Arizona. I think that's an amazing two-punch attack that is hard to match. And outside of that, our players are supported with the best peripherals from SteelSeries, but also they're paid really well, so they don't have like this fear looming over their head that they're going to have to go back to school or get a job flipping burgers somewhere because they know that they're secure. So I think we put our players in the best places and give them the most support, which usually translates to results. Obviously, everyone likes to talk about how our results aren't the best right now, which is, you know, we talk about this a lot, and basically it's because the expectation is that we win everything, and I'll never argue against that.
What about for you? You mentioned EG as the players are not only players but talent. You know, you guys obviously with me do a lot of content, a lot of videos and things, and you personally have been talking about how you're going to expand more into the kind of that casting, that hosting world, something you're really good at alongside your playership. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you in the next months, years.
Well, EG's overall master plan is that we have the best in everything, and I'm the best caster and best host on the planet. So if I can already move into that and just start elbowing out people, kind of like Walmart, you know, what I'll do is I'll keep my prices really low at the beginning, and I'll eliminate the competition just by sheer value of what I bring to the table. And then when I'm needed, I'll spike my prices up so high that I then close out tournaments, because they have to have in control there, but then they use their whole budget on me, and then I can pick or choose which organization I want to survive. And once we get into that position, we can start power playing, like leveraging for appearance fees for our players, finally getting Alex Garfield that golden Lamborghini that he needs to have to cruise down the streets of California. Word up to my West Side brothers and sisters. I can't come back from that one. Well, yeah, I'm going to be hosting and casting more because I really like it, and I'm getting older, and while I still have the competitive drive in me, it makes more sense to embrace the fact that I have more to give. And if that means that I don't practice 12 hours a day and only compete, but instead I do that and then also host and cast, then I think I'll do that.
So for those people wanting to support you in your quest to buy Alex that gold Lamborghini and, you know, basically allow you to take over esports, what kind of things can they be looking for next from you and for your team? Where can they tune in?
Well, the beauty of it is they're already roped in. They can't actually stop. I mean, when you post on forums talking about how you don't like EG and how you won't buy their products, you're challenging people to then buy our products and intriguing them about the controversy of why does this person not like them. So they read deeper, but then they're on the forums and on the websites for our products, which gives them foot traffic and brings in money anyways. So, I mean, the beauty of it is even if you're listening to this interview and you find me really bad, I could just count the money I'm making off of you right now, actually. So that's pretty much the plan. The more people we can piss off, but at the same time intrigue because they think I'm joking or something like that the whole time, they're all becoming a part of our network. And eventually, like, the plan is we rope in a media company, like a phone company, and if we can track down where most of our supporters are and then funnel those people, like it's kind of like in Fight Club, like you have a silent army that does things for you. If we can unify them under one banner, Evil Geniuses, eventually, we won't have to have people supporting our world domination plan just by fiscally purchasing and talking about us, but rather we'll actually arm them and equip them with probably mini robots powered by Intel, obviously, the best processor on the planet. And then they can actually shoot like super focused monster. Like, if you actually distill it down, have you ever been hit by a really strong super soaker? That shit hurts, man. So if you can have like monster. All right, made like a condensed, more acidic type liquid. That'd be really good.
Would you absorb it by, like, you know, osmosis through your skin?
No, it'd burn through your flesh and kill you.
Okay. Well, you know, we just have a few more questions. I know your world domination plan is going to take you away from us here pretty soon.
It's going on all the time. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, since you do have the time, we all know that appearances are everything in esports. Obviously, the collective mind is on fashion, and you are something of a style icon in the StarCraft world. So can you give us some tips on this season's hottest looks for StarCraft?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I think there's a few different approaches. Most of the Koreans feature children's pants worn. I wish I could keep that more straight face. Well, for most of the girls, it's about how much boobs you can show at the same time. Obviously, a lot of what they're going to say is going to miss the mark or sometimes randomly hit it as well. I know that Seltzer in particular has a really high percentage of randomly asking good questions. And if we can have something to focus on to get through what they're asking, that's usually a really good thing.
What about for males like you? I mean, like I said, you're kind of the icon. People look to you for style advice. So what would you advise the typical StarCraft player to do to kind of up his game in the fashion world?
Well, StarCraft 2 players, they just have so much more swagger. I think the two ends of the spectrum would be like StarCraft 2 style, which is usually like designer jeans, well-fit shirts and clothes, or if you're a machine, like Mickey Mouse apparel from a past that we don't talk about anymore. And then at the bottom of the spectrum is like Halo players. They usually come in wearing Stussy clothes, which was really big in the mid-90s, Mossimo, which then sold out to Target, so they lost all integrity they possibly could in the fashion world. Cologne, deodorant, these things are foreign, like they're weird words to Halo players, so that typically doesn't get accessorized. But just the sheer level of swagger that StarCraft II players wear and utilize at an MLG in particular, I think that's part of the reason why not only do we have the center stage now, but we actually have two center stages. And then Halo got, there's four stages. Okay, there's fighting, StarCraft, and then LOL. There's actually a fifth stage people don't know about. It's just not at any MLG ever right now. It's the fifth stage for Halo, and it's usually online.
All right. Well, you know, like I said, we will let you go. Thank you for those tips on fashion. I'll certainly be meditating on them myself. Luckily, you have a lot of sponsors that allow you to have the top level accessories for your outfits. Yeah. Any of them you'd like to thank before we sign off?
Well, I mean, the way it works is that they give us so much money, and I usually am able to pool it together. And then what I do is I flip through magazines of what all the celebrities are wearing, and then I buy the one thing that's a little bit more expensive than what they're wearing. I usually use Brad Pitt as a pretty good marker, and especially when he's not training to do a hippie movie. So if it's more of like a Ocean's 13 type thing where he's wearing really nice clothes, I'll ask my designer to find out what he bought, but then just like $2,000 more, just put it up a little bit higher. And I think that's the kind of swagger we're talking about when you talk about StarCraft II players.
Do you want to give any shout-outs to those sponsors who finance those outfits for you?
Oh, absolutely. In order of appearance, of course, we want to thank Raid Call, our title sponsor, a wonderful free-to-use voice chat program for the Internet. Download it. Try it out. If you don't like it, sorry you wasted 10 seconds of your life. If you do like it, you could meet your future wife or husband, depending on what you're into, sometimes a dolphin. For the rest of us, of course, it's Intel, Monster, SteelSeries, Kingston HyperX, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. They make it all possible. And, you know, I also want to give a big shout-out to the people that don't do as good a job as them at sponsoring. I really feel like if you're the prettiest girl at the dance, you're only the prettiest girl by contrast to how ugly everybody else is. So big shout-out to I want to thank them for making products just a little bit less than SteelSeries. And also, it's weird to thank Kingston for this, but at some point, you have to let somebody else have a small percentage of the market, so it's tough. And then Intel, of course, I want to thank... the Rudy story needs to be told. It was a great movie one time. Of course, not many movies end with the person that nobody expects to do well doing well, and then it's like a happy story. Oh, he went to Notre Dame. You know, like, it's really cool. But for AMD to consistently produce the second, third, or even sometimes the fourth best processor, it warms my heart and it pads my wallet.
Well, I personally would like to thank Kingston HyperX as well, bringing me out to these events, allowing me to soak in the pop culture environment of these esports events, the important appearances, fashion tips from people like Jeff and Control Robinson. And thanks to you, Jeff, for spending the time talking to us, sharing a little bit of your insight, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Yeah, boobs.